Thank you, Steve. Great job. It's Wendy Snyder here. Bill Leff is taking a well-deserved vacation. Frank Fontana sitting in his seat today.
Hi-ho, Wendy.
Bill worked one day. He came back on January 3rd.
The life of Bill Leff.
I know.
This dude lives like a king.
I don't know about a king. Welcome to the show, everyone, and welcome to you. Thank you for filling in for Bill.
Yeah, my pleasure. You know, I always love hanging in with you, Wendy.
I know, but here's the difference between working with you and working with Bill, Frank.
Be careful.
No. Bill is the funniest guy I've ever met in my life, okay?
He truly is.
He really is so quick.
I've never met a guy that has, like, the rapid response rate of Bill with such acuity and comedy. I mean, he's a special individual.
Special is a good word for him.
Yeah, right. Let's just leave it at that.
But I will tell you, it's really a pleasure working with Bill, other than the fact that he's super funny.
Yeah.
He is not Mr. Stylish. So he comes to work in a baseball cap every day and
kind of the same baseball cap, by the way.
No, he switches them off.
Well, every time I've seen him, it's always been that kind of grungy gray one. I don't know what
it says.
I think
they're all grungy and gray, but he has like a Peanuts one. He has a Cubs one. He has, Kevin, what's the other one he has that has the B on it? Is it Boston?
Boston, yeah.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Right?
Yeah, I think he wears it because B for Bill. Kevin, you need to turn your mic up a little bit.
How's that?
That's awesome.
Okay.
We're in a new studio because Tree Time is deassembling their Christmas display, which was gorgeous. Thank you, Tree Time. But anyway, so Bill doesn't always dress very well, so really anything I wear, I feel like I'm dressed better than he is.
Certainly.
But now with you...
I mean, I don't. I'm not like, you know.
You are Mr. Stylin'.
Come on, man. I appreciate that. Even your
headphones.
My headphones are a little stylin', I'm not gonna lie. but you know, I feel like I dress for me, casual, cool. I guess you can call it. Like, I don't like to be fancy. Like, it's not my. When I was younger, I always thought, like, when I grow up and I'm a professional, I want to wear like Versace suits. I want to wear fancy shoes, drive a nice car, all that stuff. Everything that you kind of dream of with material things.
Yeah.
And then as I got certain levels of success, I'm like, I want flip flops, ripped jeans, and t-shirts.
But that is stylish.
Yeah, I guess that could be stylish. You know, it's funny you say this because I was doing my morning, you know, social media check and sifting through.
You mean show prep? Because I don't know what that is.
Yeah, exactly. and I came across this statement by, we all know who Tom Ford is, the famous designer. Right?
Yes.
And he made a comment that I picked up on, and for some reason really resonated with me. He said, a true tell of a man's manner is how he chooses to dress.
I totally believe that.
You do?
Yeah.
See, for me, I feel like it's a bold statement, and rightfully so, it's coming from a fashion expert, but it's also not a fair statement. I mean, haven't you met people in your lifetime that may not dress the fanciest or the best, but are the coolest freaking people you ever met?
Yeah, but are you equating it to how well-mannered they are, or just it shows the character of a person by how he dresses? And does this apply to women or just really men?
It was a general statement. I mean, I think he's a predominantly a men's designer, I believe.
I think so.
I'm wrong. I just felt like it was an off comment because it's passing judgment on somebody by their external appearance.
Yeah, that's what we do.
And that's what we do as human beings. But what does it do? What does that do? That creates what? Inner tension and turmoil. So, you know, for me to say, you know, like I'll only be around somebody with a certain mannerism, and I'm going to prejudge that by the way they're dressed. So that will limit to me who I'm actually, you know, opening up to experience in my life. I just don't know if I agree with it. I don't know what you really.
Well, I don't know if he means dressing fancy. You yourself, you said you like to be casual but cool.
Right.
That's not sloppy. Sloppy is.
But how do you know by looking at me? If I said no word to you, what my manner? That would be enough for you to say,
"Yeah,
oh, this guy has great manners." Or, and I think the comment was meant to be like how he the perception and how he what's he's exuding by what he's wearing. Because I've met, and especially this hipster era, people who dress super cool but are like
jerks,
idiots. You know, it's like. Dude, you might look cool, but you look like an idiot.
Yeah, but you can't tell when you see somebody dressing to look cool that they're not really feeling it. You have a whole thing. I'm very casual. If I came in a business suit, like a nice Hillary pantsuit,
yes,
it wouldn't fit me, would it? I mean, it's not my deal.
Well,
I'm pretty
this?
Laid back. I like beer instead of wine.
But are there days where you feel fancier than others, or and you want to exude that feeling? I mean, do you feel like the way you dress could change the way you act?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I'm wearing something that I absolutely love and I feel all pulled together, I have the best day because your confidence level is boosted. You feel like, you know, I'm the S.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't mean Snyder.
But does that change her mannerism?
Yes.
Would you still be the snide Wendy?
I don't know. It depends on the situation you're in. But if I'm, like, when I went to Kevin's wedding, for instance.
Do you think Kevin's fancy? Like, do you think he
I don't do you think he's fancy.
Do you think his dress, the way he dresses, matches his mannerisms?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't say this on the air. My husband, Jimmy Mack, will be sitting in with me tomorrow at this time. And
be careful.
I hope he's not listening now. But Jim is pretty much jeans and a black T-shirt and hoodie all the time. He works from home. He's very casual. Kevin is casual, but Kev, you try and like up the ante a little bit with a button-down shirt, cool shoes.
Or his cardigan that he would like.
Yeah, I'm a big
I
got to
tell you, I don't like your cardigans.
Oh, come
really?
On.
I love you, Kevin. I know cardigans are very back in style, but we were joking off the air yesterday, Kevin, and you said you're the new Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
You said it yourself.
He's my fashion icon.
Can you stand up first?
And my grandpa.
All right. And your grandpa. Do you wear Old Spice, too? I do.
Shopping at the thrift shop, right?
I shop at thrift shops. I love it, and I love going to Goodwill.
Nothing wrong with that. So, Kev, looking at your vibe, and I know you because you used to produce my show back in the day. And
is that where friends. He came from?
He did, yeah.
We stole him,
You guys stole him from me.
Thank you, Frank.
He's better set here. I feel like you are a pretty laid-back dude.
Yeah.
I think that cardigan, though, speaks to a slight level of sophistication that you either think you have.
He has it.
It's feigned. Feigned class.
So
you see sophistication when you look at him? Sorry, Kevin, I didn't mean it that way.
Because of the cardigan. And then he's kind of well-spoken, I think.
See, here's
what
it is.
What is it?
I like to just wear a T-shirt and jeans, right, which I'm doing. But then
you dress it up.
It's a sleight of the hand. I'm dressing it up with a cardigan. But really, it's just like a hoodie. Same thing.
But that's hipster. That falls into hipster, Frank.
You're kind of borderlining the hipster. If you came in tomorrow with a shaved head and a beard, I'd start to worry.
Nope, not doing that. See, the thing is, my culture or my philosophy is old men just have it figured out in general. So all the old men things in life are the best things in life. Hence the cardigan.
Wow, that should be a profound statement we put. Wait, say that again.
Yeah, because I kind of like
this. People call it like dad jeans or dad
You
know. Dads and old men have it figured out, and that's what I'm just doing. I'm following that.
So would you say then that the dad bod is acceptable as
Yeah.
You do not have a dad bod. I got to tell you.
He's getting there. He's working on his dad bod.
Yeah. It's...
And a dad bod is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, you know, it's a different thing. It doesn't necessarily mean overweight. It just means that you look like a dad. You don't look physically cut like you were when you were in your 30s.
And some say it potentially means that your estrogen levels are increasing because you're taking more of the parental, which means sometimes female roles, especially in today's world.
A 50-50. I would say now parenting is an 80-20 fluctuating split.
Where the guys are taking 80% of the responsibility?
Fluctuating. Sometimes the girls do it. Sometimes the guys do it. I think Jim changed more diapers on our kids than I did because I was at work. He was at home with them for just our hours. He still worked, but he was quicker at diapers, better at diapers. Do you think his dad changed one of the kids' diapers? Never.
No way. No, and neither did my dad. I don't know about your dad, Kev, but you're a different generation than us.
That's true.
I don't know. I've never talked to him about that.
Maybe you should.
It's a bizarre conversation.
We can book him as a guest. I think we're open.
Diaper talk.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to examine this. I kind of agree with Tom Ford, who's in a nutshell, what did he say?
He basically said that a true show of a gentleman's manner is how he dresses.
312-981-7200. Is that the number? If I don't have it in front of me, we're in a different...
312-981-7200 is the number.
Thank you. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Frank Fontana in for Bill Leff at 720 WGN. Frank Fontana is sitting in for Bill Leff today. We were talking about fashion, if it dictates the way you act or your manners. I did not say Bill Leff was a slob.
You didn't. I did not hear the word slob.
No, he's a casual dresser, and so am I, which is awesome. Not only do I love working with Bill because he's the quickest wit in all the land, he dresses down so I don't have to dress up.
Does his mannerism match his dress, do you say?
Kind of, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to take Bill seriously.
This is true. But you know, we got lots of texts coming in, and here's a good one. Trump dresses well. Gentleman, question mark? Not by a long shot.
Well, does he? I'm not crazy about his suits. I know that maybe they're very expensive, but money doesn't buy style.
Yeah.
And his ties are too long, and I know he likes it that way.
Yeah.
But
listen, Tom Ford's statement to me is kind of, it's passing judgment too soon. You know, anytime
everybody does that, though, I hate to say it. Don't you judge someone by how they appear the first time you meet them? Don't you like you meet me
I
for the?
I'll be honest with you, I try not to.
Yeah, but everybody does it. The first time you meet someone, you're kind of in your head taking a picture of, oh, they look really nice. Oh, his shoes are bad. 'Cause to me, shoes can ruin an outfit.
This is true. This is true. And whether you polish your shoes or not, I mean, what, you know, are your laces dirty? I mean, do we all, society, like, base our interactions with people purely on the external? I mean, is that what this statement is all about?
I hate to say it's true, but don't you think it's true?
I believe it's true from a
It shouldn't be,
a,
but it
whole.
Is. We
do
judge.
Do I think it's right? I don't think it's right. I honestly, deeply in my heart, don't think it's right.
You know? There are a lot of things that aren't right.
Yeah.
But when I meet someone for the first time, I kind of check out what their, you know, their appearance.
Yeah.
I'm not talking looks, good looking or not, but how they're pulled together. So I guess everybody judges me differently because I am never pulled together.
No, but you're stylish. You're wearing cool boots. You got, you know, like your jeans, your fancy, not fancy, but funky jeans on. So I think you dress to how you speak. But if I want to be perceived as somebody who's more than what I am, isn't it easy to be Tom Ripley?
Who's that?
From The Talented Mr. Ripley?
Oh, yes. I guess.
I mean, that's kind of where I'm getting at. Is it truly right? Is it truly, you know, the best thing to judge somebody by the external appearance, and especially with the clothes they wear? It could be a dangerous facade, in my opinion.
Don't you feel better and have a more productive day when you absolutely love your outfit? And I say outfit because that's what Bill says all the time. I know it should be what you're wearing, but I don't know. Is it an outfit? Do you
Listen,
think of your clothes as an outfit?
No, but I do know a lot of well-dressed lawyers that are complete slime balls. You know what I mean? It doesn't make their manners any better because they're wearing a Versace suit.
But they wear that every day, and they're wearing it to work. I would want to judge those people on a Sunday when they're not at work.
Agreed. Now, I used to know this guy when I lived in South Florida who, if you looked at his appearance and the ties to his mannerism, but he was like schlubby. You know, like he wore, like I said, flip-flops. He wore some jeans that had a hole in them. He wore his white T-shirt. Same outfit every day. And if you saw him walking down the street, you'd be like, who is this pauper? You know, who is this bum? Until the day he pulls up in his white Ferrari and he comes out and talks to you. And you find out that this dude is so smart and so deep and he owns half of West Palm Beach. You know, and so it's hard to really stand by the statement of, you know, you are what you wear.
But was his T-shirt clean?
Yes.
Were his jeans hip?
Probably.
See, I love guys in flip-flops. I know that's
a
no-no.
I mean, I don't love guys in flip-flops, but I love that. I love that look.
I do, too.
You know, I think it's fun.
It's very surfer, very Cali, and I also like cargo shorts on guys, too. I know, was it GQ said throw them out? I don't mind cargo shorts on guys.
I like cargo shorts. Not the over, like, you know, certain people wear giant, like, three size too big cargo
shorts.
Yeah. Not that. I think they got to fit right.
No, that adds a little girth to your hip region or lower thigh region because of all the pockets.
Yeah. Oh, we got some calls coming in and lots of texts. Let's see here. I dress nice for work in jeans and sweats and hoodie anytime I'm not at work. I would rather not deal with people who judge me by looks.
I wouldn't judge you by looks, but I guess my first impression, I'd have an image in my mind, and then as I talk to you, that image would either be correct or wrong.
And that image would allow me to enter into your life at a certain capacity before you got to know me, right?
I guess.
So is it deceiving then?
It is deceiving. Patrick wants to jump in on this. Hi, Patrick. It's Wendy Snyder, and it's Frank Fontana today.
Hey, back in the day when I was a kid, I worked at a full-service gas station, and we had a customer that would come in every couple days. On a regular, you know, set time, everything. So it feels like he just came out of the gutter. And I always thought I like his radio person just like any of our own.
Wait, Patrick, your phone is bad. Are you speakerized right now or hands-free?
No, that's what your last guy asked me. How's it going? Better?
Not really. Try it again, Patrick.
So either way, the guy would come in. Everybody treated him goofy. I treated him normal. Christmas came, he gave me a $100 tip, gave everybody else a $5 tip. Came to find out the guy was a millionaire. and just didn't want to dress up. He didn't need to, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and that's it. He didn't need to.
Yeah.
He didn't need to, and that everyone says you can't judge a book by a cover, but I kind of do.
Right. Well, it's, like you said, it's kind of natural. The first thing you see is the first thing you see. So, but I always learn to treat everybody like they're people, you know.
That's it. Be nice to everyone. I mean, you can have an image in your head.
Day, you know?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know.
Thank you so much, Patrick. We appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Yeah, and a texture just coming in at 630. If you want to be treated as an equal, you need to dress as an equal. But does that really promote individuality? And I mean, I'm not a fan of just monochromatic, you know, life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that's not what the comment is about. I think it's really just about, you know, expressing your individuality. But does that necessarily have to equate to how you are as a character and your mannerism? I don't know.
I think you just need to have clean clothes. I think that's it.
And I think Tom Ford is trying to sell clothes at the end of the day.
All right, we'll take a quick break. It's Wendy Snyder and Frank Fontana sitting in for Bill Left today, 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Wendy Snyder here. Bill Left is taking a well-deserved week off.
Yeah.
Came back for one day. Frank Fontana is sitting in his seat today and dressing it up a little bit. We were talking about designer Tom Ford, which I didn't realize Tom Ford started with Gucci and Yves Saint Laurent.
Yeah, Yves Saint Laurent.
And then he launched his own brand. His study you read today...
Well, it was a statement he made, and it was...
I guess it's not a study.
Yeah, it could be based on a study, but I think his work is a study in his whole life. But I guess his statement was, you know, a true judge of somebody's mannerism is how they choose to dress.
And we mentioned the cardigan, and that has come back because if you go to all the hipster stores like H&M, where else do you shop, Kevin? Zara? Is that just
Zara's
girls'
good
clothes?
I like Zara. I actually just started shopping there.
Yeah. Yeah. Some good deals there.
You do.
That's like me shopping at Forever 21. Isn't Frank too old to shop at Zara?
No.
I mean, really? Are we going to go there? I mean,
I do shop at Forever 21, too.
Yeah,
so
there's nothing wrong with
Forever
that.
Forever 49, I guess, is what I call it.
Forever.
But Bertrand rocks a cardigan very frequently. And Steve, you wear it well.
Well, thank you very much, Wendy. I've had them since the mid-60s. So.
Do you recycle them as a little kid?
Yeah, I did. I actually saw...
Here's Steve Bertrand showing up for his first day of kindergarten with a little cardigan.
My parents never wanted to buy me more, so they always bought really big. And
and you grew into them.
I grew into it, yeah.
Steve, what do you think? I mean, do you feel like your dress fits... I feel like your dress fits your mannerisms completely. I mean, do you agree with that statement that Tom Ford made?
Yeah, probably. I mean, there's nothing less genuine than seeing someone who's, you know... trying to be something they're not.
Like, yeah.
My favorite phrase is, it's an Irish phrase, I think, mutton dressed as lamb. Where you see the older women shopping at Forever 21.
Oh,
or
shut up.
You know, and that's not where they should be.
There are certain styles that I feel like, am I too old for this? But then it's like, if I like it and it looks okay, I don't care.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't if you feel good in it. But I mean, I think there are some people who just try to look a different age or a different type than they are.
But shouldn't it be about who you are inside? You know, shouldn't it be really
well,
not so much?
Well, not everybody can, like you have, you and Bertrand and Kevin actually are portraying who you are by what you wear. So kudos to you guys for coming up with your style, your fashion.
You know, now that I think about it, the more I think about it, Steve Bertrand is my fashion icon. I'm a younger, hipper Steve Bertrand.
Younger, yes. Hipper. Okay.
He's got the, you know, Cardi. We've got the same shoes for that matter, you know?
That's right.
Yeah, because you got them free from Bobby Slayton.
Yeah.
Steve, did you hear Kevin's statement earlier that it's all about his inspiration are older men?
Wait, I got it. I got the quote because this has got to be a bumper sticker.
Oh, yes.
Old men have it figured out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old man thinks so. Like an old man car. Oh, that's an old man. Yeah, old man cars, they're super comfortable and beautiful, and yeah, they've got to figure it out.
He's kind of right.
Kind of is. But what's old, Kevin? I mean,
older than myself.
I'm older than you. Am I considered in that category? I mean,
in my world, yes, Frank.
Ooh, speaking truth
to
power. Right?
Whatever, Kevin. Hit the mute button.
You know, when Bill and I, Stephanie Menendez used to be our producer, and then we were looking for a new producer, and when we stole Kevin from you, when I said, oh, God, we got to be about your parents' age. And Kevin's like, he mentioned how old his parents were, and they were younger than me and Bill. So we're like, you're fired before you even start.
Yeah, yeah.
So he thinks we're old. I'm old enough to be... Not your grandpa.
I'm pushing 30, all right? In a few months here, 30, so.
See, but he doesn't dress like a 30-year-old. He dresses like a 20-something, doesn't he?
Who wants to be 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool, though, man. It's cool.
I like it.
You.
I like it.
Yeah, for
well,
sure.
Bottom line, wear clean clothes and wear what you like.
Yeah, but we got tons of texts on the topic, which is great. And, so you know, people are bringing it into the workplace. You know, what if you show up in flip-flops and yoga pants for a job interview?
Then you don't deserve to get the job. I got to be honest with you.
If you're
applying for a job at a yoga studio, yeah. But if you're applying for a job in the business world and you wear yoga pants and flip-flops,
what if you are a rock star inside? What if you are, and that's just your choice of garb? It'd be the same thing of saying, I'm showing up in a, you know, whatever, like my religious, you know, garb.
That's different. If you're showing up with yoga pants and flip-flops, maybe for a radio job, but still, again, people base their first impression on your looks. So I'll admit it. I like to dress kind of funky. I went through the big hair phase in the 80s and the leggings that are now back in style. I don't say leggings. I said leggings, which show a little ankle between your ankle boot and your legging. And I tried to be myself when I first interviewed at the Loop radio station, but I tamed it down a little bit because people make an impression.
But you have a brand. I have a brand. People today, we live in a different world.
Now we do, but on day one when you're applying for a job, they don't know your brand yet. So you have to show them what their brand is, kind of. I mean, be yourself, but also be maybe a little more conservative. And then after you're hired and they get to know you, then whip out the real self.
Then you could be a real jerk.
I didn't say that.
It's true, though. I mean, it's an unfortunate truth of the world we live in today. We live in a visual, vanity-based world where it is about appearance, and it's so unfortunate, you know, because it should be in reverse. It should be in a perfect world.
I don't know. I think dressing well also shows respect to the people you're dealing with.
Right. Like going to an interview, you dress nicely.
You dress like a slob every day, like, you know.
Well, the difference between dressing like a slob, I agree with you.
Sorry.
I'm not saying roll in here in your pajamas. I'm saying, you know,
Wendy, stop it.
Like, you know, just but if your true expression of yourself is wearing, you know, striped pants with, you know, whatever, a loud purple shirt.
That's okay.
That's okay.
But you may not get hired if you're going.
Steve wouldn't hire you if you did that, I don't think. Would you, Steve?
I don't think I'd hire her if she levitated.
Jesus. Listener Frank is on the line. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Wendy. A few months ago, I am a manager at Mariano's Deli, and a few months ago, I actually had a girl, late 20s, who came in for the interview with flip-flops, ripped jeans at the knees, and a T-shirt that exposed probably 90% of her back.
That's why you hired her. Come on, be honest.
It would have been nice, but no. Within 30 seconds, I looked at her and I said, I'm sorry, position's been filled.
See, first impressions mean a lot.
And man, what if she could slice deli meat like no other girl you've known?
Then she should have.
Well, just the fact that she shows up to an interview not presentable to the public eye gives me an indication of what kind of person or worker she may end up to be.
Let me ask you, after you had a conversation with her, did you give the opportunity to have a further conversation past the visual judgment?
She had said that she had never worked in the deli, and on the application, she says she did have experience. So right there was a contradiction in information, and I wasn't willing to dig any further into that.
That's a little different. That makes a little, yeah.
And if I may just say, listener Frank, if she showed up, not even in a suit, you wouldn't show up for a suit to work
jeans
at my
T-shirt.
Yeah, but just, you know, pulled together a little bit more. To me, that would have shown more respect and say, I really want this job. And then you see her at the company picnic and she's wearing the midriff top and that's okay. But to get the job, I kind of agree with you.
Yep.
I think that there is just a formality that you should go to an interview saying, listen, I want to work for you, and this is how I like to present myself to you and for the people who visit your establishment. And for someone to come to a job interview with flip-flops and an open bag, it just shows that you're not serious about really landing a job.
It almost to me seems like her parents said, go get a job or something. You know, you can't sit around. Right. And so she wasn't doing it wholeheartedly. Yeah. Love Mariano's,
I mean,
by the way.
If I was running a gas station that I just need a body there to push some numbers behind the register, maybe I would. But not when you're supposed to be representing the company that they're shopping at.
Thank you, Frank. Love Mariano's. He doesn't care.
We all love Mariano's.
I like the jewel, too.
I like the jewel, too. You know, it's funny, though, because I agree with you. This is fun. This is a fun topic. But, you know, maybe the tribes in Uganda got it right. You know, just go show up in, like, a floss thong with no shirts and whatever in a tribe.
Show us what you got.
Show us what you got. It isn't about what you're wearing. Hey, how far can you throw that stick?
Good point.
You're hired.
A quick break, and then we're going to find out what's going on at the Consumer Electronics Show. We've got apt salesperson Carl Prouty, who's going to tell us about all the cool technical things in the world. It's 720 WGN. All right, Frank, I know you like technology.
I'm all about it.
Me too.
I have the iPhone 7. I was on the
you
list
do?
Before it came out. Oh, yeah. I'm the next hottest things, but particularly the things I'm interested in.
All right, but aren't you missing the headphone jack?
Not at all, because they came, and people don't know this, they come with the extender that you can plug the old headphones
into. Yeah, the old Apple extender.
Yeah, the old Apple extender, see?
All right, well, technology is all the buzz because the Consumer Electronics Show is going on in Las Vegas right now, and apt sales rep Carl Prouty is out there. It opened today, Carl, is that true?
Yeah, it opened today. We're actually sitting at the Samsung booth right now.
Be careful. Have a fire extinguisher.
No, I think they got all that cleared up. We hadn't had any problems yet.
All right. So what's the big news? What are you excited about today?
Well, so actually last night we had a kind of a meeting with Sony, and we got to see a couple of really cool new TVs that they came out with. So they have OLEDs now, which everyone's kind of been asking when they were going to get into that business.
Did you say OLED?
Explain what OLED is. Because, I mean, we know what LED, we knew what plasma was. What's the OLED?
Sure. It's organic light-emitting diode. And what it does is it allows the TV to be super, super thin, but it also gives you the absolute darkest blacks and the absolute brightest whites. So color quality on these things is just incredible.
Should you even buy a TV these days? Because it's almost like, you know, every year there are these new technologies that you're so mad you don't have.
You know, yeah, I think it's totally worthwhile. There's some really cool stuff here. So on these new OLEDs that Sony is coming out with, they actually have this cool speaker system built in. So it's attached to the back of the TV, and it actually uses the glass in front of the TV to produce the sound. So there's not like a physical speaker that you see, the sound is actually coming out of the glass on the front of the set. It's really
fascinating.
It's mind-blowing.
So you don't need a sound bar? Because I know a lot of the TVs now, everybody says you need a sound bar because the TV speakers are not that good. Does that change anything?
Well, on something like this, you're not supposed to. We didn't have a great chance to hear it because it was really loud where we were. But in talking to the Sony rep, they said that this is kind of designed to take the place of needing a sound bar. Still with a TV like that, though, I mean, honestly, you'd want a surround sound system or something just to complement that amazing picture.
Hey, Carl, are you seeing the curvature of the screen still a big thing, or is that going away?
It's going away a little bit. Samsung still has a couple of models that they're going to do. We got a chance to see those today here right as the show opened. They look really awesome. They're using this QLED design now, so it's just a super bright, super colorful picture. They're doing some curved TVs. They've got some curved computer monitors. So they're still in the business. Not a whole lot of other people doing that, though, anymore.
What's the benefit of it? I always wondered really, what does that do to your TV watching experience?
Well, so it's like if you go to a movie theater, when you're sitting there watching that gigantic screen, that's a curved screen. So the whole idea behind that is to kind of give you a more movie theater-like experience. So it's really cool. It's just not something that everybody's doing right now.
And don't you need, I mean, think about it. Look at the size of the screen in a movie house as opposed to in your living room. I mean, we have a 70-inch TV. But even that, if it was curved to me, it's not like sitting in a movie theater where that screen is ginormous.
No, it's a little different. But with the new 4K sets, you can sit a lot closer to them. So where you used to have a big screen TV and you'd have to sit like 15 feet away from it to really enjoy the picture, these new 4K sets, you can sit really close. So it kind of gives you that movie theater experience just on a slightly smaller scale, obviously.
All right. Carl Prouty is a sales rep at Apt Electronics in Glenview. You can go to apt.com and Apt Electronics on YouTube. You've been putting up some videos. What else? What's the thing that wowed you today besides the new Sony TVs?
Let's see here. What wowed me today, Samsung had a super, super thin, really lightweight laptop computer that they were showing. That thing was really cool. So if you do a lot of traveling and you don't want to carry around a big, bulky laptop with you, you can throw that in your bag. It's got quick charging built in, so you can get like two hours of battery time on a 20-minute charge.
Wow.
If you travel a ton, they're definitely going to benefit from something like that. That was really cool.
Anything from Apple, Carl?
No, we haven't seen anything from Apple at all. I'm not totally sure we're going to see a whole lot from them here, but we're going to look around and see what we can see.
They are not getting new reviews on their new MacBook Pro, which I know features an OLED bar up on it. Mm-hmm. I bought the last year's model because I thought, you know, I don't know if I want to wait for the new one. And there were less ports on the new one as well. There's no SD card that you can put in. So I'm kind of glad I bought the old MacBook Pro.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure why they did that. People seem to definitely be complaining about that aspect of it. It's a great-looking computer, and that OLED little trackpad on the top, it's going to continue to improve. So I think maybe wait a little bit and see what they do with that, because I think it's a cool technology. They just haven't implemented enough stuff to use with it yet.
Yeah, and Samsung's really giving them a run for their money, aren't they?
They're trying. They definitely are. Samsung's just that they continue to push forward and continue to innovate, and it's really, really cool to see the stuff that they do.
Well, cool. We look forward to talking. We're talking to you tomorrow as well, correct? How long does the Consumer Electronics Show go on? It's up for the rest of the week?
Well, we're going to be taking off. We're here tomorrow morning, and then we're going to be taking off tomorrow afternoon. So tomorrow, I think, is the last time I'm going to be speaking with you guys.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, Carl. And when Carl comes home, you can go visit him at Apt Electronics in Glenview. Go to apt.com if you're in need of something and want to look around. And you can also go to their YouTube channel, Apt Electronics, and check out all the stuff at the CES. Carl, thank you so much.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, quick break, and we have some things we'd like to talk about after the news. Why don't you stay right here at 720 WGN? Hey, thank you, Steve. Steve, yesterday, by the way, it's Wendy Snyder here, and Frank Fontana is sitting in for Bill Left today. And Dean Richards will be coming in this afternoon. We'll also be speaking to Dean at 11:30 about movies coming out. Steve, I heard yesterday in the news the death of this LaGrange girl. And we had heard about this skiing accident in Michigan on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
And yesterday when I was driving home, I live in LaGrange. I didn't know there was a LaGrange connection. I had heard the story in the news, but I didn't know this girl was from LaGrange. And as I pulled into my neighborhood and saw purple ribbons on every single solitary tree in all of the land, I obviously put it together. Delaney O'Connell, a fourth grader at Cossett School in LaGrange. I didn't know the family, but I like the ribbon idea. I really do. Lynn Petrick, who writes for Patch in the Chicago Tribune, did a really amazing story about the ribbons. She was driving down LaGrange and down some streets in LaGrange, and Lynn kind of said, you know, I don't like these ribbons because it means something tragic has happened. And Lynn Petrick's daughter said, I do like these ribbons. And Lynn said, why would you say that? It just means something terribly tragic happened. And her daughter said, because it means that the person was loved and that their family is loved and that so many people are thinking of them and praying for them. It's actually special if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it is. For those who don't know, Wendy and I live blocks from each other in LaGrange. And I witnessed the ribbons going up, and my neighbor who lives across the street, this young girl, Brooke, is in the same class as this gal, Delaney, who passed away. And for a moment, I was like, what are we doing? My son looks out the window, what are they doing? And I didn't know at that second. And then later that night, my wife said, did you hear what happened? I said, I had no idea. And then when I heard this tragic story, my heart sunk. And to hear and see our community do what it's doing. And coming together and tying these ribbons on all the trees. They're up and down my block, your block, and all the way to the school of Cossett, where this young girl went to school. And to me, it's so moving and so sad at
it
the
is.
Same time.
And, I mean, there's nothing you could say to a parent who has lost a child. I mean, it's a tragic ski accident. They've gone skiing at this place in Michigan every year. And this young girl, Delaney, was wearing a helmet. There were some statistics that Frank and I were reading off the air. And there's Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston said that research has shown that helmets help, but not with a life-threatening injury.
No, no. And I mean, what do you... This is just a freak accident. There was no malintent here. There was no direct, you know, reason for this to happen. I thought of this last night. I'm like, can you imagine... first of all, you can't, as a parent of two young children. I mean, my daughter's 2.5. My son's 5.5. To lose a young child is tragic no matter what. But to come home to a town like we have, and a small town, and where everybody knows everybody, and your kids go to this, you know, your younger children are going to that school.
Right.
To roll up into your driveway, to know it's never going to be the same experience ever again.
Not for that family. And
what do you do?
I know other towns have the same thing with the ribbons. I don't know when it started, but I kind of like it too. It's like our show of support, our show of prayers and love, and kind of like a purple hug for this family. I guess Delaney's favorite color was purple, so all the ribbons. I'm telling you, they got every street in LaGrange. They yeah. really did. And I know that children are dying in other areas, in Chicago as well.
Sure.
And I don't know. Are there ribbons put up in areas where there are shootings? Would ribbons help show, look, we've lost someone? I don't know.
Well, I just wonder if it's just too many lives lost. I think the why it's such a big impact in our small town is because it doesn't happen that often.
And, exactly.
And when you do see that, you're like, wow, you know, remind you of how fragile life is. You know, people are texting in, and one folks here from the 630 are saying, imagine how the ski instructor feels. I know. I mean, whose fault is it?
Is it someone's fault? Right? Is it a terrible accident? I mean, really terrible stories. And I heard it yesterday, and I heard it over the weekend, that this young girl, a 10-year-old girl, fourth grader, had died in Michigan. And I didn't make the connection because obviously the name wasn't released. And then yesterday I found out it was Delaney O'Connell from LaGrange.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really heartbreaking.
Yeah. And all we could do really send love, you know, and like you said off air, that, you know, what that the ribbons do is almost is like a big virtual hug to that family as they're driving up their street into their home, you know, to see that and to know that their community loves them and supports them and feels for them. And you're right. Maybe that should be protocol across, you know, the country. You know, why, you know, and I'm sure other towns do it, but what a great, you know, visual to say, you know, we do care. We do love you. We feel for you. And we do have that community where people will show up on their doorstep with meals. They'll show up their doorstep with anything. You know, when we moved into that neighborhood, people were just purely being kind and bringing us meals and welcoming us to the neighborhood. That's the kind of, you don't get that in America anymore.
I didn't bring you anything, did I? Because I'm not that type of person. And I have so many casserole recipes. It really means something. And there are women and men in the communities all over the place that are that person when something tragic has happened. I know a casserole is not going to make things better, but the last thing you're thinking about is cooking dinner. And it's really a nice thing to do.
It really is. The smallest gesture.
All right. We have to take a break. Jump in on this. I like the idea of the ribbon. Again, Lynn Petrick, who writes for The Patch, which is part of the Chicago Tribune. I kind of agreed with her. It's like you see a ribbon, you go, oh my God, something terrible has happened. And then Lynn's daughter put it to her and said, that means that everybody cares and is coming together and is trying to support that family. So you do look at the ribbons in a different light.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Frank Fontana in for Bill Leff here on 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder along with Frank Fontana, who is sitting in for Bill Leff today. And a couple of things that we were talking about. 10-year-old Delaney O'Connell lost her life on the ski slopes in Michigan on New Year's Day. There was a family ski trip, and she was in a class with, I believe, three other students, and an instructor was present, and she lost control and hit a tree. She was wearing a helmet. And Lynn Petrick from the Chicago Tribune was writing, when you see these ribbons, which are flooding all the trees in LaGrange, purple ribbons, Delaney's favorite color, you know something that something tragic has happened. And Lynn's daughter pointed out, but it's kind of a good thing because the community's coming together to do what they can. Because what can you do?
I agree.
To help the family heal.
And I can tell you this. I mean, this morning I was walking my dog real early, and it was super quiet. It was so still outside, and I believe on like I said earlier, one of my neighbors was in class with this girl, and she was the one tying the ribbons in our neighborhood, in our block, and it was so still, and I just heard this bell. And I don't know if they tied little bells to the trees, but the wind was blowing, and it was so still. And I turned around and I looked at the tree, and I just saw this purple thing, and I just a tear rolled out of my eye because it's just so, I don't know, what do you say? I mean, what do you do other than just, you know, love, send love? I mean,
that's all you can do.
Yeah,
because it's a very difficult time. Hi, Eric, how are you?
Hi, Wendy, and Frank it is, right?
Yes. Yep. Hey, Eric.
Okay. I'm so used to calling you Bill and Wendy that...
you can call me Bill. It's all good.
Right. Big fan of the show. But at any rate, I happen to be a funeral director, and I wanted to point out that this, you know, is all about people's feelings. And, you know, to tie purple ribbons around trees, I think it gives the family a sense of that other people are sharing in their grief. And if you can make them feel better... during a really bad time, then it has its benefits. I kind of equate it with sending flowers to a funeral home at a wake. Some people are dead set against.
Don't say dead set. You're a funeral director.
Right. Yes. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that some people are dead set against sending flowers, saying, oh, how can you send flowers to people during a time of grief? And other people, you know, it's an expression of sympathy to try and make them feel better during a really bad time.
Eric, any advice on, you know, that there's a difference between, you know, a funeral where somebody lived a full life and, you know, you could say, God, you know, Johnny lived a great life. He's 90-something years old. But when a 10-year-old loses their life for no apparent reason at all, what words could be said?
You know, that's a very good question. And you know, from a professional standpoint, that's one of the hardest things that we have to do as funeral directors. But we have to be tough to get people through it, you know. And it's hard. Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing other than, you know, I'm very sorry. I know this is hard. I know. And if you know the family really well, if there's something that you can do to ease their daily burdens, so to speak, then, you know, do that, especially during the wake. Can we cook something for you? Can, if you've got 20 pounds of laundry, is there somebody we can send from our family to help you out with the laundry to make things less stressful?
That's great advice, Eric. Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
It is nice to move in and help. And if it's someone on your block, I didn't know them personally. My heart is broken for them, as is yours. But it is a nice thing to just, you never think of that. Like, are you caught up on laundry? Can I take some loads of laundry off your plate for now?
Right.
What a great idea. Lisa wants to jump in on this. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I think I may have a bad connection. I'm sorry if I'm breaking up. In Park Ridge last summer, we lost a young girl. And, happens to be that her favorite color was purple as well. And we literally covered our entire town, parks, schools, everything. Everybody had them on their parkway trees, on their front doors. But the neat thing that we did is we had them up for a certain amount of time, and then we all went back and collected and took all these ribbons down. And Trex has offered to donate using the material, the plastics that we used, a composite park bench with her name on it.
That's what a great idea.
God, so they recycled all that.
So we recycled it all, yeah. And Trex, like I said, they tested it because what we used were vinyl
tablecloths.
Tablecloths.
Yep.
And we wiped out every dollar store within, you know, 50 miles of this place to cover all of Park Ridge in it. But that's what's being manufactured now. So that'll go in hopefully this spring.
What is the name of that company?
Trex. It's the company that makes, they manufacture like decking material, right? Is that the same company?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Trex Decks, yes.
All right.
And they will forever have my business because of just this one simple gesture that they're doing.
I would like to get them on the air and talk about that.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, that is another thing when these ribbons go up, you know, there's kind of some responsibility to take these ribbons down. Because I can't stand when you see these things that are all weathered and they've been up for months and there's not one.
Right?
Yeah,
is,
and there's not one on every tree. So then it's like, are you tarnishing that memory?
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and we did. We had a set period that we put them up and we took them down for that purpose.
And who warranted that set period? Just curious.
You know, there was a committee formed, and because we also got the permission of the park district in Park Ridge and the school districts in Park Ridge. I mean, there was not a place that wasn't covered in purple during this time. And, you know, they gave us parameters. They said, okay, but could you please take them down after, you know, a mourning period? Mm-hmm. And we did. And, you know, and I'm sure it's going to happen for this young girl in LaGrange, but we had pictures being sent. You know, we have a whole Facebook page dedicated to Ribbons for Kate. And we had pictures of this reached all across the world. I'm going to tear up here. You know, people sending pictures who honored this young girl that were living in Sweden and Arizona and California and Canada and, you know, who were sending their pictures remembering this young girl.
And just to show, you're not going to make it easier for the family because they have such a battle ahead of them right now, but you can just show your support by doing mm-hmm. something like this.
If you do have a contact at Trex, we would love to get that information because I'd love, Wendy, you and I to spearhead something like that. If we can make
you know
that
what?
Happen, would be great.
I will text in the person who is coordinating that. I will text in his name. To you, the person who's coordinating it.
Thank you, Lisa. We
so
appreciate
I'm
that.
I'm driving right now.
Okay.
So a few minutes.
Sure.
And I'll send it over. Watch for it. Okay?
Perfect. We
thank
you very
so
much, Lisa.
Sorry, I got all teary.
No, it's
people are amazing.
Yep.
People can be, and that's what keeps my hope alive, because
yes.
I know there's a lot of vitriol going on right now, people to people. But on the whole, we all have pretty big hearts, don't
right.
we?
We really, really do, and how blessed we are to see people turn out for things like this, big and small.
Yep.
Lisa, hang on a minute. I'm going to have Kevin get your phone number, and then we can just call you for that information later.
Great. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
All right. What a great idea, because really a lot of people have been texting in, and that is a question that comes up. How long do these... And I know they use tablecloths because how do you get it around these ginormous
sure.
trees?
Sure.
But there should be some protocol because when it starts getting raggedy and
I love this idea. I mean, I'm absolutely in love with the idea. What a great way to create the memory, in a positive way.
A park bench recycled from the ribbons that
it's
were.
Brilliant.
It is a great idea. All right. Well, we'll find out more about that. It's Wendy Snyder, and Bill Leff is on vacation because he came back for one day and really spent himself. So
he works hard.
He does. Frank Fontana is sitting in his place. We'll take a quick break, and we're still going to talk to Dean Richards about movies all coming up. 720 WGN.
Which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry? If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's Dean Frank Fontana. He's Dean, Dean, Dean.
What did that last line say? He won't talk about what?
Porn.
Oh, I'm good.
But he will if you twist his arm.
I will.
Or twist
Please.
Something else.
Porn is pay-per-view. You want to hear porn talk, you got to pay.
How much does that go for?
I don't give that away for nothing.
That's good stuff.
All right. Dean, now you're coming in this afternoon as well, aren't you?
Yes.
All Dean all the time.
That's what I'm told.
W-D-E-A-N. That's what we are
they're
now.
They're saying that I'm going to take off my headphones here at the TV station, get in my car, and take 90 miles an hour to come downtown. To be with you after 1 o'clock.
Well, I'm thankful that you're going to do it. Frank, have you seen any recent movies?
I have two young children.
I know. I have two teenagers.
Have you seen Moana with the kids?
No, but my son Luca is dying to see it. So, yes, that's coming up.
Got to see that. And Sing. You got to see those two.
What?
What's your review on Sing?
Oh, I loved both of them.
Sing?
You're out of the loop.
I loved both of them.
What's Sing?
Sing is a beautiful animated film. Really fun. Story about a little koala bear that owns sort of an old, run-down theater, old-fashioned theater. And to try to raise money for his theater, he holds a talent competition, you know, like a kind of like an American Idol or, you know, like one of those kind of deals. And all the people who are competing in this competition are other animals. And the music is great. And
brilliant.
The story is great. The music is unbelievable. You will find yourself, no matter what age, you'll find yourself singing along with the music.
Well, it, just in the commercial alone, Dean, my son, there's that the remake of Oh My God.
Right.
Look at her
look
butt.
Look at her butt.
That's my son's new thing. He walks around the house. Yeah, it's good. It's very good.
All right, so you say I'm out of the loop because I don't know what sing is. I have two teenage boys, so we watch Grandma's Boy together.
Nice. That's nice.
Which I hate to admit.
It's a good movie.
I liked it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Although there were two points where the boys suddenly said, I got to get something in the kitchen, and they walked out of the room. I don't have to tell you what was going on at that moment.
What?
But they had to leave because it was weird them watching this with their mom.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It star-studded that Grandma's Boy, I got to tell you.
There's like really fantastic movies that are out right now.
I saw La La Land. Are you proud of me?
I am extremely proud of you. Well, wait, let me find out what you thought of it first.
I got to tell you.
Uh-oh.
I loved it.
Oh, great. Great.
I
did too. It was my number two movie of 2016.
I really enjoy, I love a good musical. I'm not giving anything away. I'm just saying there are times when I'm stuck in a line or maybe in a traffic jam that I would like to get out and get everybody together and do a little singing and dancing.
Right, right.
And I really enjoyed it. I watched it with 10 people, a member of the Writers Guild. So we had a little screener. And most people
sorry, you people who have to pay to go see movies.
Right.
Well, you should need better friends.
Fancy. Like I have. Like I've paid to see a movie
really?
In
Look
the last 20 years, right?
But I think there were two of us out of about 10 people that liked it. Well, I truly loved it.
I absolutely love this movie. It's fresh. It's creative. It's a musical, but it's not like a Singing in the Rain or
not corny
West Side Story or anything like that. It's so seamless. It's really like a beautiful story of these two performers in Hollywood who fall in love with each other. And you know,
I love them together,
right?
Emma and Ryan.
There's such chemistry between Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling. Both of them.
He's a baby goose.
Excuse me?
He's a baby goose.
He's a baby goose.
Isn't that what a Gosling is?
Oh, all right.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. That was a good one.
Thank you,
the
Ryan.
The information, Wendy, is great.
I thought she said she wanted a goose a baby. I didn't know what? I didn't know what you're...
I don't see the allure of this guy. I got to be honest with you.
I didn't until I saw this movie.
Girls go nuts for him.
He's not... He's one of those things. This is going to sound so superficial and mean, but welcome to my world. Emma Stone, Ryan Gosling. There are moments in that movie where I'm like, they are absolutely beautiful. And then there are the other moments where I'm like, they're not really that attractive. But there's something about them. It's
very charming.
I love them together.
Dean, I'm sure you've interviewed, right?
I have both. Yep.
What in person? I mean, what's do you get
delightful.
The allure?
I absolutely. They are physically beautiful people.
Yeah.
But more than that, they're just nice, charming. Both of them very down to earth, very 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 nice people. And I think, you know, that kind of goes through in this movie. Neither one of them are in your face. You're kind of rooting for both of them.
Yes.
In this movie. So, I mean...
Him more than her, though, in my opinion.
I think both. I mean, you really... It's about both of them achieving their professional goals as performers and trying to keep their romance together. You know, sometimes when, you know, a romance... It's like, you know, can you sustain a romance after all the initial passion is over? That's kind of partially what this movie is about, but set to such beautiful, touching, lovely, unintrusive, yet magical song and dance.
It tugged at my heartstrings, I'll tell you that, Dean.
Well, can you tell me how it ended?
Not really. I can't. And somebody...
It ends with Princess Leia handing off a disc to...
How about that? I mean, that is just such a terrible tragedy with Carrie Fisher and then her mom's passing a day later.
Private memorial is going on right now, actually.
Yes, and tomorrow morning, my husband Jimmy Mack will be sitting in for the first half of the show, and I believe there's a memorial now, and then what's tomorrow?
The burial? The interment is tomorrow.
Yes.
The burial is tomorrow. Carrie Fisher has already been cremated. Part of her ashes will be put inside of the coffin with Debbie Reynolds, who did not want to be cremated. Hmm. So part of the ashes are going to go mother and daughter together. I don't know what's happening with the other half of the ashes. I assume
Billy Lord probably
wants
some.
That's going to be up to the discretion of the daughter, or I would think the daughter, not the brother. But yeah, that'll take place tomorrow. All of it private, and then there's supposed to be a public memorial in a couple of months. They haven't given any details on that.
Isn't this ironic, though, that a mother and daughter that went through some big strife together and didn't get along for so many years had this eloquent end?
Very eloquent, and I think we will learn how much more eloquent and timely all of this was, and maybe even explain, you know, some of the irony of the deaths being so close together. This HBO documentary.
When does that air?
Bright Lights. It's Saturday. What's the 7th? Yes, Saturday. Saturday night at 8 o'clock on HBO. And it's on HBO Now on demand, and I'm sure they'll be repeated a million times. But I've seen some early footage of it, and it's pretty touching. I mean, some pretty behind-the-scenes things. You know, that they live right next door to each other. They were, like, constant companions all the time.
That's great.
These two. And it was funny and touching, so I'm very much looking forward to that as well.
Bright Lights is the name of that.
Yep.
And it's a documentary, which, when didn't they, obviously they filmed this before both of them passed, but wasn't it a while ago and there was some delay with the release?
Well, they hadn't planned on airing it right now. They had planned a future date for putting it on the air. They, because of the deaths, you know, obviously it's, you know, become a very timely thing. So they rushed to finish it in order to get it on the air. So, yeah, there really haven't been any delays in, you know, the timeline of it all. It's just become so much more poignant now. That whole thing, the whole Debbie Reynolds, Carrie Fisher thing is so weird. The whole, you know,
I know.
Touching, yeah. Poignant. I don't know. I guess I could understand that. I'm always so touched when I hear about stories of generally elderly couples,
yep,
who die with, like, within an hour of each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people are, I kind of believe that you could die of a broken heart.
When Jim kills me, I hope he dies soon thereafter.
Well, that's going to be a murder. That's not going to be. That's gonna...
You know, you talk
and everyone's going to go, wow, it took this long? Really?
Right. Yeah, I can imagine your husband's vying for some of those ashes.
Can I just tell you this stupid story? Our village gives away free mulch, so I lined my trunk.
They do?
Yes, and I just thought, you know, I'm not going to pay for mulch because I need a lot of it. So
that's
I lined the trunk of my little Toyota Corolla with a plastic lining, and I put a shovel in my car, and I thought, if the neighbors are seeing me right now with this tarp and a shovel, they're going to say, I thought he would have killed her.
Wow.
All right.
And then you come back with a trunk full of mulch.
Yeah, I know. Well, who knows what was chipped
exactly
up in that
right.
mulch.
Is it mulch? Right.
Yes. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back, and Dean is actually going to talk to us about some current movies.
New movies and huge Billy Joel news this morning. Also, I'll get to give you the first word on that in a minute.
I'm excited about the Scorsese movie. I want to hear all about this.
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, we will talk about that next with Dean Richards. It's Wendy Snyder along with Frank Fontana in for Bill Leff here on 720 WGN. Wendy Snyder here along with Frank Fontana. Bill Leff has earned his vacation.
He
worked one day in 2017, and then he needed a week off.
It's exhausting.
I know. He's got a week back.
You know, when you work these four-hour days... That could kill a guy.
Yeah.
Dean, I got to be honest with you. I don't know how you do it. You are at the television station at WGN-TV Morning News. At what time every morning?
I get here about 3:30.
And then he's going to come in, Frank, to do the second half of this show.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you even stay awake?
It's a machine.
Is it like Weekend at Bernie's where people have to prop you up?
Who says I'm awake?
He has a twin. Dean has a twin, I believe.
Yeah, Billy Joel.
Billy Joel. Right, there you go.
Billy Joel is my twin.
All right, well, there is Billy
Speaking
Joel
Speaking of
news.
Billy Joel, everybody, the transition, he's coming back to Wrigley Field. They just announced this morning it's going to be Friday, August 11th. This makes him the first artist ever to play Wrigley Field 4 years in a row and a record-setting 6 performances now at the friendly confines. The tickets are going to go on sale Friday, January 13th,
Friday the 13th.
Right, Friday the 13th for the general public. If you're an American Express card holder, they're going to start selling tickets on Monday, January the 9th. You can get them at cubs.com/Billy Joel or at 1-800-THE-CUBS or my new website, BillyJoelIsMyTwinBrother.com.
Any word of a guest performance? He's usually Elton John pops in there.
James Taylor,
they
maybe?
Haven't said. Remember last time, I think it was last time, Jennifer Lawrence and Amy Schumer.
It was 2015, yeah. I just looked that up to see when that was.
Got up on the piano and they danced to Uptown Girl.
Nice.
So, no, they have not said if there's going to be an opening act. And the surprises they never tell ahead of time. But this is pretty big music news that really just popped about an hour ago.
Do you think there's anybody in Chicago or in Illinois who hasn't been to Wrigley? I mean, I've seen them. I mean, I know a lot of people.
I haven't. I have no desire to see him at Wrigley.
What? I'm shocked.
Why?
Really? I mean, I like Billy Joel and everything. Wrigley's kind of hard to get to. And that was actually going to be my question. What is it that he loves so much about Wrigley?
They had to put an L train near there so to make it a little more easy for people to get to Wrigley.
I don't take public transportation. I'm a control freak. I like to control my own drive-in.
They ought to put some limos out in front of Wrigley Field.
I don't take a limo either unless I'm driving it.
Or not a limo either?
Unless you're driving it. You're making some side money on the side? Yeah. Hey, look who my Uber driver is.
Hello, honk honk, get in, Roadhog.
It's both Wendy and Bill driving an Uber car. I get a little private show.
That's great.
How great would that be?
All right, well, Billy Joel, he must love it here in Chicago.
He
does. You know,
it's an experience.
He likes playing
is.
The ballparks. He probably has played more ballparks than any other performer period. He's... you know, when he plays in the summertime, he always chooses these venues. He could go to United Center or Soldier Field or whatever because, you know, he sells out the shows wherever he goes. But he chooses to go, and I think it's going to be a really big deal for a lot of these performers. Tom Petty this year, James Taylor.
I love Petty.
It is going to be a big deal for these guys to be playing in the home of the world champion Cubs this year.
A little different now.
I wonder if they lost if he would have came back.
He's done it five times before, so
that's true.
I don't think that...
Somebody had to play at that park for all those years.
Right, keep it going, pay the bills.
All right, and speaking of Scorsese movies, which you are curious about, tell us what's going on.
I couldn't be more disappointed in this new Martin Scorsese movie. That I love Scorsese. I love his movies. I think he is going in this new movie called Silence. It's more... style over real substance. It's a gorgeous movie. I'll tell you that. It's visually stunning. This movie about Jesuit monks in Japan in the 17th century, where being Christian apparently in Japan in the 17th century was not welcome, and priests and people who were preaching Christianity at that time were being killed. The mentor to two young monks goes missing, and these two young monks go on a search looking for him. The two younger monks are Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man, and Adam Driver from...
Kylo Ren. Well, you got the Spider-Man and Kylo Ren as Jesuit monks.
You got your superheroes.
Where's De Niro in this whole thing?
Monkdom.
Monk mode.
So, I mean, they're going through the jungles and going through every torture possible, trying to find their beloved mentor, Liam Neeson. And it's interesting because as they're advertising this movie, they're making it sound like this is the new Liam Neeson movie. And honestly, he's barely in the movie. He's hardly in it at all, toward the end a little bit. But the movie is almost 3 hours long, number one.
Oh, I'm out.
That's strike number one.
Theater ass sets in after about
it,
two.
It is, which is my nickname from the other critics, by the way.
That's classic.
The story is very, very complex, very difficult to follow. That's what I mean. I mean, and I guess some people are calling this a masterpiece. I just don't think so.
Doesn't sound like it, to be honest with you.
I think Scorsese is trying to do something unbelievably spectacular, and it winds up being too much. It's too much. It's too difficult to digest the whole thing. So, unfortunately, I'm only giving it Dean's List C- on this one, and that's mostly for its visual beauty. And that's about it. Interestingly, Liam Neeson is in the other movie, the other big movie that's opening this weekend, called A Monster Calls. It's a story about a little boy, a 12-year-old boy, who is doing the best he can to be strong for his mother, who has a terminal illness. And he's having trouble at school, being bullied. He's having trouble with his grandmother, played by Sigourney Weaver, in the film. And at night, there is this big, old, majestic tree that's in just outside of his bedroom window that he sees this tree coming to life each night.
That's freaky.
The tree kind of uproots itself, and, you know, the thick bark becomes his arms and his legs, and the tree, you know, slowly and menacingly walks up to the house and his bedroom window, and promises him secrets to dealing with the troubles that he's going through with his mom's health and with the other kids, promises him through a step-by-step process to teach him the secrets to dealing with all of these troubles.
So he's a nice, scary tree?
He is a revelatory, scary tree.
I gotta look that up later.
He reveals.
I'm confused.
He reveals.
Thank you.
Revelatory reveals. He reveals.
Latin root.
Things to this
root,
boy.
Get it?
My reviews this year, I'm gonna diagram every sentence that's gonna be my New Year's resolution this year. He reveals things to the boy which are not always so pleasant. And as the story goes on, it's an eye opener of honesty, but it's a tearjerker. Just like Manchester by the Sea, just like a bunch of movies that we've got out right now with Oscar season, just like Patriots Day that's going to open next Friday. This is a tearjerker.
Sounds great. A Monster Calls. Bertrand is knocking on our door, so what do you give it?
I'm giving it a Dean's List A.
Holy moly.
Not for little kids. Not for little kids at all.
So don't see it, Frank.
But I'm out. But it's don't accidentally take your kids to see this when you think you're going to sing. But it's a great movie. Really, really great and touching, thoughtful movie. And I can tell you more coming up after 1 o'clock.
All Dean all the time.
If I don't get arrested for speeding coming downtown.
All right. Well, thank you, Dean.
See you guys.
We'll see you. Dean Richards will be sitting in with me, in for Bill Leff, I guess, from 1 to 3 this afternoon. Frank Fontana, thank you so much
for sitting in.
A pleasure to hang with you.
You too.
Hope we can do it again.
Let's do it.
Thank you, Ryan. Awesome job. All right. It's Wendy Snyder here. Bill Leff came back for one day of the new year and said,
exhausted.
That's too much.
Exhausted.
And I feel like I've already talked to you today.
Thanks. Nice to see you, too.
Dean Richards is here. Really, thank you so much for coming in. I'm surprised you made it on time.
I made it with time to spare.
Did you have any lunch or anything?
I didn't. I didn't, but that's okay.
Do you want a listener to bring you lunch?
There's an idea. I've been wanting to have razor blades for lunch. That would be fantastic. I had a chance to chat and be sociable in the office. That's the only nourishment that I need. The love of my fellow coworkers.
You're a lying sack.
I don't even think they know who I am in the office.
You are always there.
Not here.
Well, you mean this office?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you're here on Sundays.
When nobody's here.
Everybody's listening. I listen to you almost every Sunday.
Aren't you nice? You mean from 9 to 1 every Sunday morning?
Yes, I do.
That show?
Maybe not the whole time.
You mean that show with Kevin Costner and Jim Parsons this week? That show?
Do you ever get nervous interviewing some of these people?
Sure.
Because it's...
Don't you?
I totally do. Bill does not get nervous.
He's lying.
He is a liar.
He's a big, fat liar. Some people you have to have a little more anxiety.
Somebody you're a huge fan of.
Yeah, right.
Because you want it to go well.
2016 was what I'm calling my year of the legends. Because I got to talk with Dick Van Dyke in 2016. I got to talk with Clint Eastwood. I got to talk with Robert Redford.
Wow.
And TV legend Norman Lear. Nervous, 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 nervous. All of them. Put me in a room with, say, a Bryan Cranston. It's nothing against Bryan Cranston. But it's the legends that where... I want to make sure I don't make any mistakes. I want to make sure that they have an enjoyable experience. I think that's really the biggest thing. I want to make sure they enjoy the conversation.
That is a good interviewer, Dean, honestly, because it's not about your agenda. And, you know, things can go terribly wrong, Mel Gibson, in an interview.
Who we reconciled this year.
I heard that, too.
Another great reconciliation in 2016. Mel Gibson and I are like this, and I'm crossing my fingers. Those of you watching on the web, you know I didn't raise my fingers at all. But it's theater of the mind.
I just, you know, it's weird because somebody that I'm ultra familiar with, I'm more nervous about. I know it should be the opposite because you feel like...
I understand that.
Because if you know so much about someone...
good afternoon. I'm Jill Egan.
Like Jill Egan would make me very nervous.
See, look how warm and welcoming. Good afternoon to you, Jill, who doesn't even know she's talking to us.
I know. But if I know someone's work, it's sometimes hard to interview someone because you want to show that you're aware of their former projects,
right.
But you want to let them tell the story.
Right. And you don't want to be kissing up to them.
Right.
At the same time, you want to, you know, Dick Van Dyke, Norman Lear.
Those are the big legends, man. You're right.
They're in their 90s. They're 90. Dick Van Dyke just turned 91. Norman Lear, I think, is 92. What question could Numbskull McNumskullington here be asking them that they haven't been asked 100 times before? So you want to try to come up with something that's interesting, that's engaging to them.
Right.
I hope. That I've done that when I've talked with them. And, you know, Clint Eastwood, I just didn't want him to kill me.
Right.
I didn't want him to, you know, like, pull a gun out of his shirt and kill me.
Well, here's the thing that's much more difficult talking to these legends. People get crotchety when they get older. So, boy, someone's in trouble when you get older.
It's the truth.
But you know what I mean?
That's
it's
the truth.
Like, it does seem like people get a little crotchety.
Of course you do.
What was that? It was going around on the internet. Jerry Lewis. Did you see that? He was being interviewed by someone.
That awful interview that he did.
It went terrible. It was like yes and no answers, was not building on it. Why do the interview? Why does a celebrity an interview then?
Stay home. And the thing is that he's famous for that kind of interview.
Has he ever been funny? Answer that honestly.
Sure, of course he has.
I'm not a fan.
Nutty Professor?
That's
like the
silly.
The old movies? Well, silly is funny. Silly can be funny. But, you know, he was once one of the biggest stars, literally one of the biggest stars in the world. And I don't know if it's falling from that mantle that makes you bitter. But he's been, he can, I had an experience with him. Once I had my experience and talked about it on the air, I was inundated with people saying, well, this is what happened to me. Everybody had a story of dealing with Jerry Lewis. So it's nothing new. You know, just stay home.
That's what I didn't understand.
Stay
and
home.
People, you can Google it. Just I don't remember. It wasn't like a big celeb that was interviewing.
No, it was the Hollywood Reporter.
Right.
It was an industry magazine. Hollywood Reporter, the interviewer, you can tell, is a little inexperienced. He was a little unprepared for somebody like him because if you're prepared, you know that this Jerry Lewis could be a troublesome interview and you have to be ready for that. And he wasn't. And Jerry Lewis made mincemeat out of the guy.
It's marvelously uncomfortable.
It's incredible. It's awful. I felt terrible for the guy. I felt worse for Jerry Lewis. You're Jerry Lewis. Have some dignity, and especially, did I mention that I talked to Dick Van Dyke this year? 91
No.
years old, couldn't be nicer, more charming, more down-to-earth, more just wonderful in every way. Why does anybody have to be nasty?
I don't understand that at all. And what surprised me about that Jerry Lewis interview, and maybe it's just because I am not president of the Jerry Lewis fan club, but, you know, he seemed to, his life changed when, after the death of his partner, Dean Martin, after they split up. I thought there was uncomfortability between those guys.
There was discomfort between them. Some would say hatred and jealousy between them.
That's a shame.
Frank Sinatra brought them together for the first time in decades on the muscular dystrophy telethon several years ago. That was the first time that they had gotten together. But I don't want to, you know, be the Mr. Anti-Jerry Lewis guy. but his reputation of being kind of a jerk,
very difficult,
precedes anything with Dean Martin. Goes way back in the day, according to what people have told me. So
I was surprised to hear that, though, when he said, you know, when it changed for me was when I lost my partner.
Yeah.
I thought that was something that kind of shocked me, actually, that he said.
It's just it seems like it takes a whole lot less effort to just not do the interview and be happy.
Why would he?
He couldn't have been happy with the way that turned out either.
No, because he looked like a big jerk. Yeah. But now, why does somebody do that interview? He doesn't have to. What was he promoting? Do you remember?
I don't know. I don't remember. He had a movie out this past year called Max Rose, which was okay. Well, it wasn't the greatest movie. It wasn't the worst in the world. It was interesting seeing him in a dramatic role, and he was doing some interviews for that. Maybe it was something related to that. I don't know. But I don't know. I can't explain it. I just know if you know, Tommy Lee Jones is one of those same guys. He's Mr. One-Word Answer intentionally. I've told the story before of one of the first times that I interviewed him. I knew that he was like that. So I went in prepared with my suit of armor on, ready to do battle. I sort of like those kind of interviews. They're a little more challenging.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen. But as I was walking in, a young journalist, a young woman was walking out, might have been 20, 25 years old, clearly new in the business, in tears. She was crying, walking out of the room. Tommy Lee Jones, as I walked in, was sitting there laughing and talking with his people. Boy, I sure got her good, didn't I? He did it on purpose.
And he can sleep at night.
Just stay home if you don't want to be interviewed.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Tony has joined us at 312-981-7200. Hi, Tony. Dean's here. Aren't we happy?
How are you, folks?
Hey, Tony.
I got to tell you, I am so enjoying the conversation. Do you realize how blessed you are to be able to make the acquaintance of those people?
True.
You're a lucky man, Dean Richards.
True. Mostly true.
And then to be starstruck is one thing, but to be comfortable in your own shoes and have respect for each other is another. So it is very impressive the conversation that you're having about it and how you feel about it, because to be nervous around somebody, I mean, is kind of ridiculous, but they're icons, and it is just so much fun. So thank you for the conversation.
Oh,
I'm truly enjoying it.
Don't you think, though, Tony, that it just boils down to whether you're talking with a celebrity or anybody, isn't it just what kind of manners were you raised with? What kind of basic courtesy do you have to another human being?
Well,
that's really
just treat people the way that you want to be treated. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Clint Eastwood, and when you said that about you're afraid to walk into the room because he might pull a gun, I wasn't there, but now you talk about Tommy Lee Jones as well.
Well, totally in jest.
I wouldn't expect that out of him because he's another icon.
Yeah, totally kidding about Clint Eastwood. You know what? He couldn't have been nicer.
I already know that, yeah.
He could not have been nicer.
But you didn't necessarily expect that.
I didn't even know that I was going to interview him.
Gran Torino was probably one of the best movies that I've ever seen him make.
I was scheduled to interview the real Sully, Chesley Sullenberger, mm-hmm. for that movie. I was scheduled to talk with him and some of the other supporting people, not Tom Hanks, not Clint Eastwood. They said that they're not doing what we are called local press, so they weren't doing any local press. So I just figured I wasn't going to talk with them. I didn't have any questions prepared. I thought I'm talking to the real Sully, and who else was in the movie? Laura Linney, I think, like that. So I'm sitting there waiting to talk with them. Clint Eastwood's walking by, and you practically can hear harp music when he walks by because it's Clint Eastwood. He's got that kind of aura around him. He walks by me, stops, walks back, and he goes, "Chicago, right?" And I said, "Yeah." Yeah, Chicago. Goes, yeah, we've talked before, I remember. He said, are we going to talk in a few minutes? I said, well, honestly, I'm not scheduled to talk with you.
You said that to him?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you go, of course?
Well,
you're welcome anytime.
I wasn't. No, he was asking me, am I to talk with him? And I wasn't scheduled to talk with him. So I said, honestly, I'm not. And he said to his people, let's put him on. Let's talk with Chicago.
And did you turn into a puddle when he said that?
I'm in a. So like within 2 minutes, I'm sitting with Clint Eastwood. I don't have anything prepared. Nothing.
And you have so much minutia floating around in your head that how do you filter it out and get it ready to roll?
I'm sure that you and any other talk show host, any person, sometimes you just got to pull your questions out of a place that is unspeakable.
Was he a Cool Hand Luke?
That would have been fantastic.
Because I had a high school boyfriend who named his dog Luke after that movie.
That would have been Paul Newman, by the
way. Oh, that's right. The blue eyes.
How great would that have been if I sit down
with
him?
Do you see why I can't just rely on what's in my head?
Yeah, Mr. Eastwood, I love you.
All right, we have to take a break. We can continue talking about this. 312-981-7200. I am honored to be with the legendary Dean Richards.
Not as honored as I am
for the rest
to
of
be
the...
with the legendary Dean Richards.
It's 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here. Bill Leff has taken some time off because he earned it. So Dean Richards is sitting in his chair today.
Allegedly.
He earned it. All right, whatever. He's
no,
taking
I meant
some...
me. I meant, I meant I am allegedly here.
What does that mean? You're here.
I don't know.
Is this a virtual Dean?
I'm drunk. Okay. I don't know.
Have you been smoking some edibles?
Did I do an Andrew Garfield? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
How about that at Disneyland?
Talk about that real briefly, and then Susie, if you can hang on.
Andrew Garfield said in an interview, he threw his ex-girlfriend under the bus by saying that when he and she, when they were a couple together, went to Disneyland in 2012, that they partook in some marijuana brownies first. And apparently, according to him, it enhanced, it made the happiest place on earth even more happy, apparently.
Why do you say that out loud?
What do you mean?
I mean, he did it. That's fine. But, you know, I don't want to know. I don't.
He said it in an interview.
I know, but he should have kept that to himself.
He said that he
it's
went.
It's ruining the happiest place on earth.
He said that he went on Space Mountain 3 times.
And he put the space in Space Mountain.
Space in Space Mountain. That he freaked out on It's a Small World After All.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? What else did he say? He said it was fantastic. Now, kids, this is Uncle Dean talking to you now. Don't do as Spider-Man does. Don't do as Spider-Man does.
I guess that's what bothers me is my mom's side comes out. Like,
right.
Disney's supposed to be for kids, so I don't want to hear that.
Right.
I don't really. I try to love Disney.
Just
my family does.
Disney didn't do it.
Maybe I'd enjoy Disney more if I did that.
I'm more upset that he threw his girlfriend under the bus.
That's what guys do. Susie, we were talking about, first of all, I still get nervous when I interview someone that I'm really a fan of, and it was peculiar to hear you say that, Dean, but that's honest. It's like you want to make a great impression,
sure.
And we were talking about sometimes celebrities can be one-word answers and not so nice, and you have another group of people that is like that, Susie?
Yeah, every now and again, you might come across an athlete who, you know, you look up to and you're so excited. You happen to see them, God knows where it is, and they can be really jerks. And I'm not saying all of them, but that's what sticks with you is the ones who were jerks to you. Like, I remember once meeting Don.
Who? Now I'm dying to know.
Yeah, Dave Kingman.
She's nervous talking
and
to
he
us.
Was, I thought he was just, he was a Cub and he hit great home runs. What a jerk he was.
Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't hear who this
Dave
was.
Dave Kingman?
Oh, Dave Kingman.
And that stays with me so long, you know.
As opposed to the 2016 Cubs, seemingly they all could be nicer.
They'll pull over and talk to you.
Right.
I would love to meet any one of them.
All
you know,
of them.
Like,
I've met a few of them, man. And they couldn't be nice. They could not be nicer. But by all accounts, from neighbors of theirs here in Chicago, that they're all super nice to the kids and happy to sign autographs. So, you know, it just depends on the person, I think.
It does.
And they have to realize that they not only represent themselves, but they represent, you know, their team, their city, their group of athletes as a whole. And if they can't, or, you know, actors, you know, rock stars, whatever, if they can't be nice to people, then that kind of puts a whole damper on the whole group of them.
And you know what? It literally, it takes 1 minute to be nice to somebody and, you know,
I know.
Say, what's your name?
Hey, nice to meet you.
Where are you from? have a you know, I'm not asking you to, you know, have a sit down conversation, but just to have a pleasant encounter with somebody. It literally takes 1 minute. Anyone who doesn't have that 1 minute, the only time that I've ever been standoffish when somebody has recognized me and said hello is when they wanted my autograph when I was at a urinal.
Come on. You could have done it in yellow
snow,
ink.
In the snow.
Right. Susie, thank you so much for calling. I sometimes feel guilty because if you see a celebrity that's just all of a sudden, I don't know, maybe you just run into them at Walgreens. Do you say hi or
not?
Got a
lot of celebrities hanging out at the Walgreens?
Who's the one, I can't think, Shia LaBeouf. Oh. He's a big fan of Walgreens.
He loves the Walgreens down there on Michigan Avenue. Yes. That's true.
But, you know, sometimes it's like I don't want to bother them.
Right.
So I just kind of sometimes look at them and go, big fan. So they know I know them.
Oh, that's nice.
But then, you know, they're
enjoy your enjoy your work.
Hey, vitamin E really works. Something works like for that. Me, too.
Bertrand, don't talk to celebrities, please.
when Steve does the one finger, like in a gun,
right?
Thing,
hey, baby, good
does
to
one
see
of
you.
These?
Right.
Yeah, you got to do the
right.
with it.
I like the gummy bear version of those vitamins.
I do too. Do you honestly take them? Because I took my gummy bear.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, because that's how I take my vitamins now.
This is casual celebrity conversation in the vitamin aisle.
All right, we have to take a break. We're going to do some news with Steve Bertrand here on 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Wendy Snyder here. Bill Leff's taking some some time off. So Dean Richards is sitting in his chair today. And Ryan Burrow is coming in as well. Steve, you led your news talking about this this hate crime that happened, and Ryan Burrow is here to tell us a little bit more. How's it going, Ryan?
It's going all right, and yeah, it's now been defined as a hate crime, at least by prosecutors. That's the way they're charging this. We were wondering if it was indeed, based on some of the things they said in the video, they were racially motivated. There were words about Donald Trump in there. Obviously, we know that this victim has special needs. And we didn't know quite how prosecutors would move forward with that. You know, did they think that was just, you know, some of the racist comments were just talk? There was nothing really behind it. You know, could you charge someone for a hate crime based on the fact that they've been targeted as someone with special needs? And it looks like in this case it is. So we've got three 18-year-olds, Jordan Hill of Carpentersville, Brittany Covington of Chicago, Tesfaye Cooper of Chicago, and 24-year-old Tanisha Covington of Chicago. So
there were reports that this victim may have known one of them and went willingly
through school.
And based on kind of just patching this together, nothing confirmed yet, but we think that there may have been a Carpentersville connection, so it may have been 18-year-old Jordan Hill. But you know, we'll get a little bit more information from police. They're going to have a press conference in about 20 minutes or so. So hopefully we'll get a little more information.
What is it
some specifics?
What is it that I know that there are certain categories that are considered to be hate crimes, but you know what is it that for certain crimes put them in that category? When you've got somebody restrained with duct tape, when you're cutting them on the head, when you're saying the things that you're doing, I mean, there's nothing but hate with this whole thing. Of course it's a hate crime.
Yeah, I don't exactly know how far the definition of hate crimes goes, but we saw yesterday during the press conference last night, I mean, even the police were kind of struggling with it. You know, if they're dropping words that are kind of racially charged, do they mean anything by it? Do we have to factor in that they're only 18 years old? You know, I mean, are these just words to them? You know, is there any sincerity there? Did they target him because he was special needs? Well, it seems like that was the case. Now, as far as, you know, a crime of passion, that may not be considered a hate crime. That may be just a crime in the moment, but something that was plotted out because of, you know, something that the victim has done, something the victim has said. Perhaps, you know, that is what the definition is. Hopefully we get a little clarification on that.
I guess because there are certain protected groups, right?
Yeah,
certain
protected groups.
But is now saying, you know, something about Trump, like you voted for Trump, is that now becoming a hate crime?
Exactly. And that was another thing. Why was his name brought up? I don't even know. I've watched this video now and I don't even understand
honestly,
anything that's going on in the
video. I'm hearing Donald Trump invoked in both the negative and positive.
Yep.
People are just throwing it in encounters where it doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't.
These encounters like this, it's not, nothing is happening politically. And I've heard it done the other way where people have said, go Trump. you know, in order to antagonize somebody that they think is not.
And it seems to be kind of divided supporter. Along racial lines, too. We've got this case where it appears as though the victim was white, and at least some of the attackers who are seen on the video appear African-American. I really don't know. We saw the case. Do you remember the video that we saw with the guy who got pulled out of the car?
Yes.
On the side. And
that you voted for Trump.
And then they went after him. And
they didn't
him.
Know he voted for Trump. It turns out he did.
Exactly. Very, very bizarre how the name just kind of pops
up.
I
think that's such a side issue. I mean, it's certainly part of the story. And also, they were like F white people at the right. at this. It was just the rantings of crazy people. That's the bottom line of this whole thing. These are four insane people
who are only 18 years old.
Tortured this poor mentally challenged person. Tortured him. To me, there's nothing even to be discussed with this. And have the audacity to put it on social media live as if to brag, look what we're doing.
Well, it's
done, finished, and over with. No trial needed.
Is that how they got caught?
Well, I mean, it's the old dumb criminals thing, right? Of course. I mean, you do something like this, and then you videotape it, and for the world to see, of course you're going to get caught. And, you know, if indeed they are convicted, these 18 and 24-year-olds have a difficult struggle ahead through their adult life, that's for sure.
And I wonder if this opens up a door to a new kind of crime. It's one thing to commit a crime. It's normally done privately. So
yeah, because you don't want to get caught, I would imagine.
You don't want to get caught, but with Facebook Live and other social media live, where you can, you know, very much like the terrorists. I mean, is this much different than
the beheadings?
The beheading videos that we see, that's basically what this is. It's a form of terrorism, to put it on social media.
You know, what's interesting about that, too, is Facebook has actually stepped in, and then they've released a comment. I don't know if you've seen the comments yet about this. They've pulled down that original video because, obviously, they don't condone that kind of activity going up on Facebook. But they are allowing people to share the video because they said in most cases people are showing that, hey, this is awful, this is terrible, and they're kind of expressing their anger and frustration about the video by posting it. So they're letting people post it that way, but they actually took the original video down. Isn't that
doesn't seem right.
It doesn't seem right, and that's what I'm talking about, like this new kind of crime now, where the crime is done live on social media. It's being shared by people. I would love to throw this out there to see what people think. 312-981-7200. Is it somehow more acceptable to take a video like that, that Facebook takes it down because they view it as inappropriate, but it's okay for you to take the video and share it? Aren't you basically just doing the same thing that Facebook said you were doing? And let me just throw in a little something else here. And I honestly don't even know how I feel about this. But, you know, TV stations who are reporting the story and talking about how horrific and how awful it is and show the video. They're showing the video.
That's their job, I think.
Now, it's reporting the news. Do you not accurately report and show the horrific nature of this whole thing? Or are you throwing gasoline on the fire also by saying, look at this horrific thing that we're going to show you?
Yeah, when I saw the video going around on Facebook, I could not watch it. I didn't want to even attempt to watch it because I can't even watch cops. I really can't. I hate when people get in a physical fight of
some
point.
Because you don't like that song, Bad
No,
Boys.
That I love.
Bad
that draws
boys,
me
bad
into
boys.
It. I love that song, actually. I play that in my car all the time because it's about me.
When she's robbing a bank.
Yes. But I can't watch these people punching each other. And so to see someone being tortured like that, yeah. I didn't even click on it. But if I'm watching the news on TV and they have the video, I think it's their responsibility to show it. However, to say, you know,
disturbing images.
Right. So then I know to tune it out.
How did WGN, I'm sure you get all the emails. I get them all for ABC News. And it's like, this part is blurred. This part is bleeped out. I mean, really what you're seeing is like corners of frames now because so much stuff has been blurred
out.
Yeah,
that's how we showed it.
Yeah. Blurred out?
It was blurred. We didn't show anything. Specific, you know, of what was going on. And we had a huge discussion after the show today. We have a meeting after the show each day, basically saying, how did we get away with what we got away with?
I know, you guys, for all these years, you're lucky
show.
As hell.
we had an unusually uncharacteristic, serious discussion about Do we show the video? Do we not show the video? If other places are showing unedited video, do we show unedited video back and forth? It was actually very, like a really interesting, you know, discussion about how do you present something that's horrific but is still the news. It's still what's going on.
Let's let the listeners in on it. 312-981-7200. How does this stand right now, Ryan? These four people are in custody. They haven't been charged yet?
In custody. Charged, yes. They'll be in court tomorrow, and we're going to get a briefing from police in about 16 minutes or so as to, you know, kind of what brought this up and hopefully a little more details. Because yesterday's was interesting for the people who hadn't seen the video and watched the press conference. And, you know, you saw the superintendent up there talking about how disturbing it was and how stupid it was and things like that. But if you hadn't seen it, you're like, well, what's he talking about? But I think once people started seeing the video, they kind of understood a little bit more about what happened in that press conference.
Thank you so much. And listeners, jump in on this. Is it the news responsibility of the news departments to show this video? What about Facebook saying we're not going to allow it, but go ahead and share it with your friends and family?
And these videos like the decapitations and these horrific things that people put on Facebook, and they seem to think that it's okay. Is it okay?
And hasn't the person who's committed the crime won then because somebody's seeing what they've done?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
When they're behind bars, I don't know if they feel like they've won, but we'll see. I don't know.
I'm against that, and I'm against Facebook pictures of people's feet. If there's some way we can regulate that.
I don't like seeing the athlete injuries, like the guy who goes up for a three-pointer and his leg shatters and everyone shares that. Right. What's that about? I don't want
to
see that.
Whatever happened to people getting hit in the privates? That's funny. It's 720 WGN. Thanks, Ryan. We're in a new studio today because the fine folks at Tree Time are taking down the Christmas tree, which kind of makes me sad.
The wintry fairyland down on the showcase in that way.
I would have lights up all year if someone gave me the choice.
Really?
Yeah, I like it.
I feel like I'm in a snow globe when I'm down there.
Is that such a bad thing?
No.
Dean Richards is the voice you're hearing. He's sitting in for Bill Leff. I'm Wendy Snyder. And Ryan Burrow just came in, four people in custody and being charged after an attack on a young man with, quote, mental health challenges. It was broadcast live on Facebook. And Dean brings up the great question, if Facebook says, well, we have to take that down because it's not right, but go ahead and share it with people. If we share it, aren't we doing what Facebook is saying not to do?
It seems to me that way. And, you know, really, anyone who listens to my show knows that I probably lean a little more liberal on things than not. This one, throw the book at these four SOBs. Seriously, there should be no question about these four people.
And you mentioned, why is there a trial? It's caught on tape right there.
Tape, here it is. I know we have to go through the process. Because it wouldn't be America if we weren't foolishly spending money. I became a Republican in 2017. Wow.
Hi, David. What do you think about this?
Hi, guys. First of all, I have a son with autism. And when I saw the tape, it broke my heart. I mean, because there's that type of hate in the world. And you try to work with your children to teach them how to be independent. But beyond that, Dean and Wendy and Bill and all of you guys, you answered to a governing body called the FCC. Even when they were showing it on the TV stations, they had to blur it out and they had to beep out the words. Facebook is the new media, it's social media, and they're showing whatever they want, and maybe now it's time to start regulating that stuff, because showing things like beheadings and acts of violence like this, it goes beyond the rules of what you guys are held to, and I think maybe it's now it's time to start regulating that stuff, because otherwise, what else are they going to start showing on
there? I don't know how you would regulate it, though. I mean, you know, if somebody puts something like that up, there's virtually no way to track that person. I mean, there are ways to track the person down, but it's pretty difficult. It's not like you can go back to a TV station and say you were suspended or fined or whatever for something that's inappropriate. Most of the time, all of these things are completely anonymous that goes on there. That's
and the Facebook Live.
You show a nipple on Facebook and bam, you know, they're all over you. So, again, they're regulating. If they're watching it, it needs to go beyond snarky hipsters saying this is freedom of speech. How you regulate it, I'm not that smart. I'm just a guy in a car.
I just don't know how. Let's say you shut somebody down for doing that. That person probably has 17 other identities on Facebook anyway.
But if the whole point of Facebook Live is it's right here and right now, and that comes with the problem of not being able to edit it. There's no one just sitting there at Facebook Live, checking all the videos that come in.
Right.
But there should be some way, like, maybe once they notice it, it's taken down. Don't allow people to continue sharing it, because then what does it matter? Facebook says no, but it's still on Facebook.
Right. We're on a 7-second delay right now. If I drop the
Come on, don't. I don't know where the button is in the studio.
I'll bet I can beat you with four-letter words.
I need the delay button just when I work with Dean.
I would never do that to you guys. But the point is, if they can regulate when you show a nipple, you throw up a schwass, whatever, they're regulating a lot, there's got to be a way to start doing it or take it down. They don't. People don't need this much freedom of speech. You are governed by the FCC. You've been more or less trained on what to say and what not to say. And, you know, maybe it's, we're not ready for this. And I'm all about freedom of speech, and I'm about as liberal as it gets, but it's not working.
I agree with you. Thank you, David. Thanks for calling.
One of the downsides of too much technology.
When Al Gore invented the internet, he did not think
did
that...
Did not anticipate this.
No, and I don't think anybody did, and there has to be come some way to police it at some point. It's like the Wild West out there. Virtual Wild West.
Very true.
Susan's on the line. Hi, Susan. How are you?
Hi. I haven't seen it, and I don't want to see it. I'm in Special Olympics, and talk about it. That's fine. But don't show it, because we just want to be left alone.
It's really, I didn't watch it either, Susan. I saw it was available and out there, but I didn't want to subject myself to that. I can't stand to see other people hating on someone so much.
And I think what we should do, if anybody listening should send him a card or find a way to send him a card and put $5 in it. And that way he can meet his hero. Like if he's a sports fan, then he'll have the money to go to see whatever sports team he wants to see.
Well, Susan, you know that most people just want to give you a big hug right now, right? That's what the vast majority of people
are thinking right now.
Are thinking, and that's what they want to do. So you take heart and don't.
Yeah, I'm in Special Olympics, and I live by myself. I used to live by myself, and I was bullied, but never like this. And
it's heartbreaking.
We just want to be left alone.
Yeah,
we haven't done anything. We just want to be left alone.
We need to find a way to get rid of all this hate. Susan, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you, Susan.
Feel the emotion. How do you not hear that and go that these four people who did this,
these animals,
they're animals or they're sick or whatever the problem is, they need to be removed from general society. Anybody who thinks that it's funny or a power trip or whatever it is, case closed as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with you. Susan, God bless you, and thank you very much for calling. It's Dean Richards. It's Wendy Snyder. It's 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Wendy Snyder here, and Dean Richards is sitting in for Bill Left today. Did you make any New Year's resolutions to exercise?
Yeah.
I'm not calling it an official resolution. I'm just trying to be more active this year so I don't let myself down.
Right. That was my first resolution, to not disappoint myself by making resolutions.
Well, if you're looking for some ideas...
I might start smoking this year, too.
No, don't do that. You're not supposed to add bad habits. You're supposed to take away some of those habits.
It would be so much easier, wouldn't it?
Do not understand the resolution thing.
All right, but...
Try to put on 20 pounds.
God. Maybe I'll join you. That'll be an easy year for us, won't it?
I'm going to pick my nose in public.
Already do. So if you're trying to come up with some ideas of what to do, I'm sorry. I have tried health clubs, and it's boring to me. I like lifting weights, but on a treadmill or an elliptical, my mind is still with me. So I can think of all the things on my to-do list. So you keep trying something different, and there's a new studio in Burr Ridge. It's called the Cycle Bar, and the studio owner for Cycle Bar Burr Ridge on the line with us right now is Susan Grant. Hi, Susan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Hi, Susan.
Hi.
All right. Here's the thing. I have a friend in the neighborhood who is a big fan of Cycle Bar and was explaining to me that not only is this a great place to go to get in shape and maybe start out, I guess your classes will be kind of busy for the first month of the year and then it'll wane a little bit in February, but at Cycle Bar, in addition to the premium indoor cycling experience, you guys work together with charities. You have a big fundraiser coming up at the end of this month. Why don't you tell us a little about that?
You're absolutely right. So my favorite part of what we do is a program called Cycle Giving, and it offers the chance to partner with local and national charities to raise money. They host a ride, and all of the proceeds that come from the ride go directly back to them. So we have a really great event at the end of the month on the 28th. It's called the Cycle to End Father Absence, and it's benefiting the 21st Century Dads Foundation. And the founder, David Hirsch, really focuses on the belief that kids really need a responsible father who are present not just physically, but financially, emotionally, and spiritually as well. So we are partnering with them to do a three-hour event from 1 to 4, and there'll be 40 teams that can consist of 1 to 3 riders. You can split it up 1 hour each, or one person can power through the whole thing.
I'd say split it up. That's the way to do it. But
I agree with you, frankly. But each team, the goal is to raise about $300 at least. So we're super excited about this, and it truly is a cause near and dear to many of our hearts. So we're excited for the event.
Could I ask a super basic question? Because I've never, until today, I've never heard of Cycle Bar. Is this a...
you can't drink while you're riding, if that's what you're wondering.
The word bar is part of the title.
I can assure you that at 5:45 on Fridays, we do have a happy hour ride.
And
beverages after. So you're not far off.
See? Okay, well, this is a facility in which there are just stationary bikes, right? So then that's why all the activities are geared around activities while you are on the stationary bike.
But there's like a light show, there's rock and roll. Tell us about what we would experience if we're sitting on that stationary bike with a water bottle, maybe containing something other than water.
Well, we usually encourage that for post-ride to keep everyone safe. But it is it's a state-of-the-art facility. We do have lights that change and a fantastic sound system. And, of course, I think the best instructors we can possibly have in our cycle stars. So it really is 50 minutes, but you're moving a lot. You're changing. The whole idea is to get through 50 minutes without feeling like you're working out.
Now, you have something that's called Cycle Theater. As the entertainment person, I'm very interested in this. What is Cycle Theater?
We do. So that's what we actually call the room in which the bikes reside. But we do have two big screens at the front where we can play videos that coincide with the music, or we use them a lot for races during the class. So we can do men versus women, or individual sprints to see who wins. So if you're competitive, it certainly feeds that.
Might you show a movie?
Would that get you to work out? Because I got to tell you, if I would go there for a 2-hour movie, if I could slow down a little bit, that would inspire me to ride the bike.
I think that would be cool. You sort of get lost in the movie and you forget how bored you are.
Absolutely. I could certainly look into that. But I can assure you, you will not be bored on the bike.
Or you'll fall off, Dean. That's what happens. Now,
singing in the rain. Good morning.
All right. So this is a new studio in Burridge. It's called Cycle Bar. And really part of the founding principle of your business is giving back to the communities. How long have you been open? Because I'm seeing you raised over $15,000 for local charities since you opened your doors.
We did. We opened at the end of July. So if those numbers are just through mid-November, and we have a lot of really great events coming up in the first half of this year as well. So it really is a big part of what we do, and certainly at least my favorite part of what we do. So it's a great kind of side piece of what we do to kind of partner with the community around us.
Now, if someone's listening right now and maybe has a charity that's near and dear to their heart, can they have a private party and raise some funds for their charities?
Absolutely. There's a easy form on our website, burridge.cyclebar.com, where you can contact me and we can get it all set up. I should also mention, too, if anyone's interested in the event on the 28th, the Cycle to End Father Absence, you can sign up at 21stcenturydads.org.
21stcenturydads.org.
Yes.
All right. And what's your website again? Susan Grant on the line with us, owner of the Cycle Bar in Burr Ridge. What is your website if people are interested in getting a charity of their own started with a private party?
Burridge.cyclebar.com.
Burridge.cyclebar.com.
Is it super busy and crazy this time of year? With
It was interesting, you know, starting in the summer when a lot of outdoor cyclists are still outside. It's interesting how they're coming in droves when it's only 10 degrees. Right. So, yes, we're really, it's picking up for sure.
Well, I know that most gyms are, you know, packed January and February because everyone has the resolution that, you know, they want to lose some weight. They felt like they went overboard around the holidays. They're trying to, you know, to trim up a little bit. And you can't even get on a machine in most of the gyms right now.
That's true.
So I've heard.
Yes, that is true. I
Our correspondents tell us.
there are studios in Oak Park, River Forest, and Evanston as well that are open.
And now, do you have to be an avid bike rider to participate in the Cycle Bar? Because, I mean, I don't have bike pants, and I don't typically ride a bike up and down the streets or the bike paths, but this is a good workout for anyone. Do you have to be a bicyclist? Do you have to
Absolutely
be a messenger?
I prefer bikes that don't go anywhere. They're much safer for me. So I am not an outdoor cyclist.
Are there different levels? Are there different levels? Because you know what? I took a spin class once, and I don't think I have ever had a harder workout ever in my life.
Do they call it spin because your head is spinning when you're finished?
Well, they are. I will say that all of our instructors will make sure that you know how to take it at your own pace. We do offer different types of classes depending on what you're looking for. We have some that are more focused on the statistics, some that are a little bit more mind-body and zen. So it certainly suits every level. And we also offer bike shoes to everyone who comes in. So you don't have to have your own shoes. We help you get set up and give you shoes for every ride.
How about that, Dean? You don't get to keep them, though. You have to give them back. It's like bowling.
Sounds appealing, putting my feet in someone else's shoes.
Oh, everybody does it.
Sweaty old shoes.
They're not sweaty and old because you guys just opened in July. It's a great idea. it's called the Cycle Bar, and it's located in Burr Ridge. And once again, their major fundraiser that's going on for the end of this month, January 28th, the Ride to End Father Absence, and the money they're raising money for the 21st Century Dads Foundation. Again, if you're interested in participating in this, or maybe you have a company that has, or maybe just as a personal thing, you have a charity that you'd like to raise money for. Once again, you can go to burridge.cyclebar.com. Is that correct?
You got it. Thank you so much.
I love the whole concept that because you're exercising while you're doing other stuff at the same time.
You're doing good for people.
And you're doing good for the world also.
Thank you so much, Susan. Good luck with all the stuff going on and burridge.cyclebar.com. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
That interview made me starving.
You told me you were going to start going to the health club.
I want some cake right now.
Well, you haven't eaten lunch.
Can we get to send out for a Portillo's chocolate cake? Just you guys can eat something too, but
maybe there could be a little tray on the bike that we could put the chocolate cake on.
Well, that's what I was thinking. When
you and I are bad for each other.
Like private private events. This is what I would do. I would invite all my friends, and then on each bike, you have like Fritos on one bike and cake on the other and
chicken,
fried chicken. And then like every 5 minutes, you switch bikes. So you get a little
progressive exercise session.
Exactly, of unhealthy food.
Dude, there's your entrepreneurial thing right there. I don't know.
Burridge.cyclebar.com. I'm sure they'll be happy to set that up.
I would do it. I'll attend.
Right now they're going, who's that guy on with Wendy?
He's Dean Richards, and it's 7:20.
We did not agree to talk with him.
WGN. We were talking about this cycle bar in Burr Ridge because when they mentioned their cycle theater, I know immediately you went to, what movie are they showing?
Right. You bet.
But would that work? Would if they showed a movie?
I think it would be a good idea. I don't know if I would want to sit on a bike for 2 hours.
That's, I mean, you could slow down.
Not the most. Yeah, but you're still sitting on a bicycle seat for 2 hours. But I say whatever you can do to distract yourself while you're exercising, the better. I mean, most if you go to a gym now, most of the treadmills or ellipticals or whatever, they all have little TVs on them. So I guess it's the same principle, but I don't think I've ever seen one actually showing a movie.
And with a bigger screen, this sounds like a big theater.
That. I would enjoy that. I would enjoy like a Shawshank Redemption.
What about Breaking Away?
Breaking Away? How about that? That would be perfect.
You and I would be the only ones at it.
Bum, 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 bum. Oh, I dropped my chicken leg. Bum, 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 bum.
We'll see. All right, maybe this is crazy, but if you do something that you have fun at while still participating in some physical activity, that would work for some people who don't like to go to health clubs.
Win-win.
You have a chicken leg, but you're moving, and you didn't before.
What's one chicken leg going to hurt you?
Fried chicken?
Mm-hmm.
We are a bad combination here.
Easy to handle on the bike, too.
Yeah, I guess. I like to do something where I can shut my mind off so I'm not thinking. When I go on a treadmill or an elliptical, honestly, whether there's a screen or not, all I'm thinking about is, oh, man, I have to stop and pick up milk and bread on the way home. Right, right. I need something that makes me escape.
Can you actually turn it off that way?
My mind?
Yeah. No, I mean, can you really? I don't know if I could. No matter how distracted I was, I still would be thinking. It's like, oh, when I get done with this, I got to go there, and then I got to do this, and then I got to remember to call this person. Or
you need an assistant
while I'm working out.
Sure, Bill Leff has an imaginary assistant. What's his name?
Jeffrey.
How do you guys remember that?
I really don't know.
Do you remember Jeffrey's aunt's name, who was the imaginary assistant's aunt?
Yeah, this is starting to get creepy now.
I do remember Jeffrey passed away.
Oh, sorry.
Only Bill Leff would have an imaginary assistant who dies. Why don't you imagine he didn't die? I don't understand.
That's not the
it.
Bigger problem here, Wendy.
No, I know. Well, I am trying to be more active this year. Yesterday we were talking on the show that the problem with people making New Year's resolutions is it's so absolute. Like you say, okay, I'm going to work out 5 days a week. Well, then say, you know, you're busy that first week and you can't get there five times. In your mind, you're like, I already failed, so yeah. I'm done.
I think I would fall into that category. It's honestly why I don't make – somebody asked me on New Year's Day, what are your resolutions? It's like I don't really have a list of, you know, I want to be – healthier.
I want to be alive by the end of this year.
I don't
year.
Want to have a grabber this year. That would be nice.
That would be really nice.
Yeah, but that's only going to happen. I've got to, you know, apply myself to all of that. You know what I really, what I have the best luck with all that?
What?
And I've kind of yo-yoed, so I guess I don't know if it's been good luck or not, because I keep bouncing back and forth, but The best way for me to lose weight is by counting calories.
That's the only way to do it, it's tedious.
It's tedious, but, you know, there's this app that I've got that's called...
Lose It or MyFitnessPal.
MyFitnessPal.
Yep.
I use MyFitnessPal.
Been there, done that.
And so, bye to the good times and the bad. Right now, MyFitnessPal keeps sending me messages every day going, are you dead? Are you still alive? Because we haven't heard from you in a long time. No, but you put in exactly what you've eaten, and it shows you how many calories,
yep,
your carbs, your sodium, shows you everything, and that way you have kind of a running tally for the day. And even if you cheat a little bit, then you know, oh, I cheated here, so I got to make it up someplace else. And that's what I have found that's worked best for me.
That is kind of the basis of all the weight loss systems. Weight Watchers has been very successful prior to my wedding. I lost a lot of weight on Weight Watchers, and you can eat whatever you want. You just have to kind of make deals
points.
With yourself.
Right.
Yeah. And points is just the same thing
as calories.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just and you just expressed a different way.
And you log it. And if you know you're going out drinking that night, then maybe you save up those points and then some for that night of drinking. So really, that's the only way to do it. You have to be accountable. Although I do better when I go to meetings and I have some accountability where somebody has to go, okay, step on that scale.
Ooh.
So will you be my sponsor? Oh.
I'll be sitting there with a bucket of fried chicken watching. What'd you think?
That's it. So, well, just, you know, don't set these lofty goals like I'm going to lose 50 pounds or I'm going to work out 5 days a week. My goals are I'm going to be a little more active this year. Yeah. I'm going to eat healthier.
It's one day at a time. You got to
take drink
it.
More.
You got to take it one day at a time. That's the only way that it works.
That's right. All right. Dean Richards sitting in for Bill Left today. It's me, Wendy Snyder, and at 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Wendy Snyder here, and it's Dean Richards sitting in for Bill Left. Steve, you had played a snippet of Eddie Johnson.
That was live.
Oh, yeah. That was live as it was happening. All right, so this police superintendent here in Chicago was saying this is deplorable, it's horrible, but what's going to happen to these people? They're 18 years old. That's an adult, correct?
An adult, too.
I'm sure that they will be charged as adults, and they're hate crime, aggravated battery, very serious charges.
And is there going, I mean, I know everybody needs a trial, but seriously, Dean, we mentioned this before. It was up there, Facebook Live. It's there. What, isn't the proof there?
You want to drop in again?
Yeah.
This is the officer who found the man.
After talking to
him. This is what he looked like.
He didn't seem like he was very discombobulated. He was injured. He was confused. And at which time I called an ambulance. I left him with two other officers, Officer Adamski and Officer Cronin, to continue my investigation. I left him with them, which revealed that he was a missing and endangered out of Streamwood, Illinois. They contacted Streamwood Police and conducted an investigation, which revealed and put the pieces of the puzzle together for what we have right now.
So that's the police officer who saw this man, the victim, on a Chicago street. And, you know, Chicago police often criticize. Good for him. He saw something that looked like it didn't belong, and he stopped, investigated, and found this man who apparently had been victimized.
Do we know how he got from Streamwood to Chicago? He left with these people?
I'm not exactly clear. I mean, I've been doing other things than just listening to it.
Right.
But I know that he had planned to spend the night with a friend, and the friend might have been one of the four or knew the four or something to that
effect. That's even worse to me, that someone knew him.
Let's wait until, you know, Judy will have a lot more at 3, and she's been focused on it, so she'll have a better understanding of it.
You know, the other thing that's disturbing to me about this, if this was on Facebook Live, presuming that the person who was feeding it live had friends, other people were watching it happen. Are they liable?
That's a great question. Not calling authorities.
They were. I have to assume that there were some people who were watching this on the Facebook Live feed. If you're watching something like this happening and you do nothing, are you just as responsible as the person who's doing it? Maybe not as responsible as the person doing it, but do you bear some of the responsibility for not trying to stop it? If you just look at it, and maybe, God forbid, that you actually just, all you did was put a comment, like people do on Facebook, and move on to the next thing, isn't there some responsibility to that also? That's what I mean, that this, to me, this brings up this whole other thing of this world that we're living in now, where every single minute of the day has to be documented on social media, including these horrific, horrible, racist, hate-filled events. I was looking at some comments on my own Facebook page of people talking about this, saying, you know, that there would be much more outrage if the person who was being beaten was African-American and the assailants were all white, that people would be up in arms. I think people are pretty up in arms about this now. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there would be marches in the street. People are saying that, you know, where is Black Lives Matter when it comes to something like this? I think people are up in arms about this.
The bottom line is a person of any color should not be treated like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, you say if somebody, that's such a great point. Like if you're Facebook Live, you see this come up and you don't call authorities, yes, you can take some of the blame, but there are people that are walking down the street that see stuff happen and don't call 911. I don't know if I'm 100% into assisting people, but I would certainly pick up the phone and call 911. And I don't care if 20 people called, at least between all of us, somebody has called the authorities.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do. If I was going through my Facebook feed and I saw something like that happening, I really don't know what I would do.
I wouldn't believe it. I would think somebody's this is a scam or
doing
something.
A skit or you know, something like that. But who do you call? What do you do? Do you call 911 when you see something like that? Do you reporting it to Facebook seems not adequate. Enough.
And you don't have Zuckerberg's number.
Well, maybe you don't.
Oh, I guess you're the legendary Dean Richards. That's right.
No, I'm just saying that it's.
If there's an officer listening and we did call 911 to report something that we saw happening on Facebook Live, what would you tell us? I mean, is that the place to call?
I know that there's a cyber hate.
Nobody has
division.
That number right off the bat, though. I mean.
Yeah, well, I know Chicago police has a cyber hate division. I don't know if it would go through that or if they just. I have zero idea what would happen there. So I'd be curious about it. 312-981-7200. Let's take some calls on it.
This is Donald. Hi, Donald.
Hello. Yes, I just need to make a comment that I think is very unfortunate, but, you know, it's illegal to break a law. But unfortunately, we don't have laws in effect that says it's illegal not to report a broken law.
That's
true. In other words, you see somebody doing something, it's unfortunate that we don't have laws like that. Because, I mean, I see videos all over the YouTube, you know, people beating down other people, women getting beat, little kids getting slapped. And, I mean, really, there ought to be a law like guilt by association in the least.
I've seen those videos, too. I don't seek them out, but sometimes you find these crazy videos of people hurting other people. These videos are on a YouTube channel. Can't authorities, does anybody monitor this? Does anybody try and go after these people?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's illegal or not.
I mean, if they're looking at video film to find out whether a perpetrator broke into a convenience store or robbed a store or something like that, then what, wouldn't this be video surveillance in essence? That it can be used against someone?
Kind of. It's surveillance tape. They're broadcasting this.
It sounds logical to me.
Just seems like this needs to be. It seems to me like this needs to be nipped in the bud
now,
right now, because you know this horrible thing that's happened now has become an international story that other people have to look at, going, well, here's a way that I can get attention for my cause.
Copycats are trying to one-up this one, even.
It basically becomes like an ISIS or Al-Qaeda video that is sent to send shockwaves through the masses with these kinds of things that are put on social media for people to see.
Donald, thank you very much for your call. It's supposed to, come on, I said this earlier, it's social media. Can't we go back to posting pictures of cute little puppies, kitties, and food? I mean, this is horrible stuff that shouldn't be broadcast. And again, we learned from Ryan Burrow earlier, Facebook said, we're taking this video down, it's too disturbing, but they are allowing other people to share it, which make a decision one way or the other. I don't think you can have both there.
Yeah, it's the downside of, I've talked about this before, the downside of too much technology. You know, we love the internet, we love that things can be fast and quick and immediate. And jobs have been lost and lives have been changed. And now there's this. I mean, social media was supposed to be something that was great and useful. And this is the downside of too much technology.
I think Al echoes your sentiments, Dean. Hi, Al.
Hi. I guess Dean and I are on the same wavelength. Social media, you know, like Facebook and Twitter, were supposed to be used to bring people together for good purposes. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing more and more instances where people are using them for ugly purposes. I have to tell you, I don't use Facebook and I don't use Twitter because I'm like older than dirt. So, you know,
I don't believe you.
Well, I
don't believe you're older than dirt. I believe you don't use those. Two
okay,
things.
Maybe there's some dirt that's older than me. But anyway, I guess the Dean sort of is thinking the same thing. Like, what's going on here? I don't have any answers to this, but in this instance, people people were using Facebook to advertise a horrible act. So.
Agree. Al, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Al.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
All right, one more here, and then we have to take a quick break. Mitch is on the line. Hi, Mitch. It's Dean and Wendy.
Hey, Wendy, how are you?
Good.
Oh, hey, guys. I have two comments. One is with Facebook, I like the idea that, you know, you should call it in and all that. But for one, who do you call? But for two, though, there's so much junk out there that's fake, and people look at it and go, oh, is that real or not? And they don't know what they just saw. So, you know, that's kind of a hard one there. But the other comment I had, you guys kind of covered it, but just imagine the media getting a hold of this. If it were four white guys beating up a black special needs person, it would be four angry white Trump supporters beat up an Obama supporter with handicap, you know, and it would be immediately called a hate crime. And I just think that a hate crime is a hate crime. I don't even like the word hate crime because I think most crimes are hatred. But
that's what Dean was saying, and that's true.
It is, and it's like saying, I don't know, it's just not a good way of doing it, because now they have to hesitate. So on the other side of it, they're going to hesitate calling it a hate crime because it does carry a harder sentence, a bigger charge. But,
well, they're not hesitating one bit, Mitch. They're not hesitating one bit calling it a hate crime.
The superintendent called it racist.
The superintendent and the officials are calling this what it is and what it would be if the races were reversed on this. I don't think there's any disparity.
That's not what I heard in the beginning. It was saying that it's a bad decision. We make bad decisions. This was a bad decision. I don't know if he said, I don't know necessarily if it's considered a hate crime yet, but we're looking into it, something like that. I know he's got his hands tied with legalities, but, you know.
I think it's been declared a hate crime.
It's been declared. He said he wanted to get all the facts in before they made a decision. And certainly if there were charges against you, you would certainly want all the charges in before assumptions were made, you know.
But assumptions, we watch that. That's what I, there is no reasonable doubt after you watch it.
This is pretty straightforward, it seems to me.
Mitch, thank you very much for calling.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, bud.
I don't have the answers, and I don't know who to call either, because let's take a quick break. Shane, if you can hang on, I think we have an idea. I don't know how to get there, but Bill Leff has taken some time off. Dean Richards sitting in his stead. I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. It's Dean Richards and it's Wendy Snyder, and we're 720 WGN. Eddie Johnson, the police superintendent, was talking about this case of four individuals who took a mentally challenged individual and basically hurt him, cut him,
beat him,
and it was
tortured, it
was terrible, and it was Facebook Live, and that's what is bothersome to me, that Facebook said, let's take it down, we don't want it showing, but you can go ahead and share it with other people. And Shane, I don't know what the way around this is, but stricter internet laws, how do we do this?
Hi, Shane.
Shane?
Hi. I'm here over here in Hobart, Indiana, and I think this is something that not only because of this incident, but because of all the hackings lately, too, the federal government needs to really pass something to have stricter internet laws. Plus, there's the Good Samaritan Act, too. When you see something happening, you're supposed to report it.
That's true. See something, say something. Why aren't people saying anything when this went live? That's a great question, Shane.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. I don't have the answers.
I don't know how you regulate the internet, though.
There has to be. I mean, when it was first brought forth, you know, that's the whole great thing about podcasts and other things. There is no way to regulate it. But don't you think someday there has to be? The Wild Wild West, you know, there was no regulation. But, you know, in order to get along as people, something had to be put together.
Well, you know, I saw the movie Patriots Day. That's going to come out next week, which is a really good movie, by the way, and another in this string of really sad movies that are out right now. Great movie, but sad, like so many that are out there right now. But one of the ways that they were able to help track down these two terrorists who committed the Boston Marathon bombing was by tracing some of their internet movement and their cell phone movement. So I guess, I mean, there are ways, I guess, to track down who's doing what based on what your virtual activity is. I guess it would be that way. But let's say somebody posts something like this. What's to say, and they're shut down. The FCC, Facebook, whoever, whatever the regulatory body is, shuts them down. What's to prevent them from opening up 10 other identities, new names, new everything, and just doing it all again? Maybe I don't know enough about how all of that works. But I do know, you know, we see that in comment sections where there's just rampant hate that never stops that you would think would in some way be regulated because it gets so ugly that doesn't really seem to stop at all.
I'm curious to know, in this crazy election year where there was so much divisiveness, as President Barack Obama says, if there was no social media, if there was no Facebook or it hadn't taken off like it did, I wonder if there would be so much vitriol out there.
You have to wonder if there would be a president-elect Donald Trump if there wasn't so much social media this time.
Yeah, you do have to wonder
because, that. Because, I mean, that was certainly part of his strategy to speak directly, you know.
It worked.
As he would say, I'm not sure that I necessarily agree, but he would say that this is how he spoke directly to the American people. Said what he wanted to say and didn't have to go through us stinking, dirty, lying media.
Or a press secretary. He just did what he wanted.
Whatever he wants to do.
And somebody was wondering if he's going to have the real Donald Trump and POTUS. Is he going to have both, or is he just going to do the real Donald Trump?
I think we all better put our seatbelts on for a whole lot of stuff we've never seen before.
Will that mean double the tweets from him?
I hope so.
We won't have time to read them all.
Oh, I can't get enough.
All right, we have to take a quick break. Rokon, Anna DeVlantis is back today. The lovely fine folks at Tree Time are disassembling our Christmas studio. Oh. It was really lovely to have that there. Oh. So I don't know if Ro is upstairs or downstairs, but you know what? Dean, we're going to take a quick break and maybe we'll see Ro or maybe we'll just talk to Ro.
I'm seeing some activity.
A flurry?
I'm seeing,
downstairs?
That's traffic.
What channel are you watching?
I'm watching the cameras. Oh, we have a lot of room to be talking about social media. I'm looking at everybody who works here at WGN on a camera right now.
Yeah, can I just say I got into radio because there were no cameras? Right. I don't really like this.
I'm afraid to scratch myself around here.
Already did. 720 WGN.